evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our Aiken City Council work session of January 10th, 2005. We have two items on our work session, demolition assistance and yard trash service review. So, Mr. LeDuc, would you like to lead us off, sir?
Yes, sir. We have Darren Bryant in the crowd tonight, large crowd, who's here asking for some assistance from the city. At the last couple times we talked about this, you asked that we relook at our policy, and that's going to be done at the Horizons, where we're going to be looking at different incentives. I have four of them that we're going to be reviewing. That's incentives for new development in the downtown area, reuse of empty buildings, development on the north side incentive, and a facade grant program incentive for the downtown area. But that's going to be a month away, and by the time you approve all those things, we're probably talking a couple of months. Darren would like to get going on what we think is a pretty interesting project, which is the back end of the design house, which faces the backside of what Greg Ryberg has, his residential unit. He would like to tear out that ramp, have room in there then to install a walkway to the existing buildings, and also have room in there to put up several residential units, probably three or four at a minimum in that area. We figure that it'll cost us less than about $3,000 to remove this material. We could probably do it in 1 to 2 days. And he is seeking assistance from the city to go ahead with the demolition of this walkway. He would do the walkway demolition. All we would be doing would be the hauling.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Mr. Bryant, would you like to say anything about your project? Yeah, please come up, if you would. Tell us your name, just for the record.
Yeah, Darren Bryant. The design house, the way it, we're trying to divide it into three separate parcels. Right now, the tax base or the tax assessed value of the building is $152,000. And we think that by the time we divide it into two separate buildings and then do the development on the back, that the property should be worth somewhere in the $1 to $1.5 million range. So it's a substantial increase to the tax base for that corner, and we'd like to get it developed and do it as quickly as is conceivably possible.
And now, your units you plan on building would be just like Mr. Ryberg's or similar to his?
Well, I had a discussion with Greg, and we'd like to hire the same architect so the front of our building is in keeping with his building.
Right.
So
right.
It'll be designed by the same architect.
And how many units would you have?
Three, possibly four.
Okay. How high would they be? About the same height? Or
approximately, yes. Yeah. They might be slightly lower than his, but we're not sure. They'll certainly be under the 55-foot limit.
Okay, Doug. Thank you. And you've done quite a bit of work around Aiken and maybe even in Aiken County over the past few years, haven't you?
Well, we're trying to focus on the Chesterfield Master Plan with Pat Cunning's help, and we're supposed to get our permit on the Day Building tomorrow. So we're hoping to get going on the old Larry Day Building. We're redoing the facade and renovating that, turning it into retail space. So we're excited about that.
Right. And you've done some individual homes. I know out on Rollingwood you did one, I think.
Yeah, we did. We've done about seven or eight, I think, in the last year.
Yeah. Good. The ones I've seen look very nice.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Anybody have any questions?
Is this Hayne Avenue up here then? At the top of this, have you seen the draw?
Yes, that's Hayne Avenue.
This is Hayne Avenue. And what is, where is all this space coming from? Is that where?
That was proposed by Greg Ryberg and is being handled through the Department of Transportation for Mr. Ryberg.
So this would go out into the existing street or what? Because it's not there now, is it?
That's correct. That is a redesign that was done along with Senator Ryberg's project.
Is that a city street or a state?
It's a state street.
There's that much? I thought the same thing. There's that much room from the...
Yeah, I mean the roadway actually, I guess it's a V or something, a wedge of some sort, and there really is quite a bit of space there in that corner that they're going to, I guess, redesign and reutilize.
Because right now there's just head-in parking along there.
That's correct.
Right. That's correct. One automobile, right.
That's correct. I think that what they're trying to do is get more green space and get more landscaping and things of that nature. And it extends all the way to the corner where Senator Ryberg's property starts. So it goes all the way from Park.
It starts on Park Avenue then.
Exactly, and goes all the way to Hayne. Or all the way along Hayne to, I guess it was, used to be called Short Street.
What you're seeing here is only part, Mr. Ryberg's property actually goes way down here.
Right. And these garages at the bottom, are those on your property? Or
no, they're on Greg's property.
All right. And then, but this back building is not there. Right now, there's nothing there, right, where the three is.
That is correct.
And that's where you plan to build the... housing.
Yes,
correct.
That's correct.
And this is commercial up here.
Well, it is now, correct. But on the second floor of the two-story building, we're converting that to residential.
All right, I remember you said that. That's right.
And the ramp, what the ramp is going to allow us to do, by removing the ramp, we're creating common area for all three properties. And it's actually going to be an easement, and it's going to be access for all three properties.
So
right now, on the first-story building, there are no emergency exits out of the back of the building. There's no way. There's one way in, one way out, and that's it.
The blue building?
The blue building.
Mm-hmm.
And by removing the ramp, we're separating the meter banks, and we're also going to put emergency exit doors out the back of the building as well.
I always thought it was so it was so weird that the ramp was built that way. You know, what did they do up there?
They fixed cars.
They fixed cars up on that second level?
Yeah, way back when it was first done, yeah.
And so this will be your parking then for this development?
Yes, that there's a little section slightly south of that, and then there's additional parking on Hayne, or rather in the front of the building.
This little part here, is that what you're talking about?
No, and actually, the reality is that probably isn't going to be there. They're probably going to redesign that to some degree to create more space, because we don't need that driveway.
Oh, right. It just goes into the side of the building. Then.
Right, right.
Well, there's not a bit of landscape there now. It would look good, I think.
Yeah, it'll look nice. There'll be a lot more green space around the corner there. And I'd love to take credit for that, but it was really Greg Ryberg's.
We've worked with him, and we're going to be planting several trees in that area where there is asphalt now, and actually create more daytime parking in that area, not only for those units, but also for other people that may be shopping those areas.
So each one of your living units will have parking somewhere other than on the street, then, is what you're saying?
No, probably not. They'll probably have street parking.
Just like the second story of apartments on Main Street on Lawrence.
Right.
When we get to Horizons, not to get into this in any depth, but the whole premise of these incentives that we have talked about will be that, as Darren said, this property here is under $200,000 in assessment currently, and it's going to go up to over $1.5 million. Well, if you translate that $1.3 million difference and you look at the taxes that will come into the city, we easily recoup any cost we have within less than 1 year. So we're going to be looking at ways that we could look at the fact that we're not getting the money in now, and if these projects can be completed, we'll be getting more tax revenue in and giving some kind of a rebate back on taxes over a period of time. I explained that to Darren, and although that sounds like a nice idea in many ways, he would prefer to get going on this project right now. instead of waiting for that.
Well, plus, if you, these are buildings are over 50 years old, right? And if you do, you know that. You know, that, of course, they have to be designated historic, don't they?
Yeah, they're general business right now, so they don't fall under that particular jurisdiction. But
all the more shame we don't have a downtown historic district, because then you'd be eligible for those kind of tax incentives, would you not?
Yeah.
So we're talking about giving him $3,000?
No, we're talking about helping him with the removal of the waste and taking it to the landfill. Our cost would be probably between $2,000 and $3,000, take us a day to 2 days worth of work, which, again, that the hauling and the cost for the landfilling would be under $3,000.
Well, I certainly support it, and I applaud you for doing what you're doing there.
Well, thank you, Mr.
Certainly be an improvement.
I appreciate that.
To that whole area.
In addition to that, we've all established a precedent.
We have, and like I said, at Horizons, we'll be looking at either changing that premise that we're working on currently and looking at different types of incentives that'll be more broadly based that could fit into what I think council would like to see in the future.
When do you get started?
It's already started.
Well, we've already started a portion of it. We've repainted the facade on the two-story structure, and we're waiting for the windows to arrive so we can install all new windows on the facade and everything else like that. So we've started in a small way, but the big thing that we really need to do is get the ramp removed. That's our major thing right now.
Yeah. When would you start needing city help?
I would assume if we can get somebody in there to remove the ramp, it probably would take them maybe 3 or 4 days to remove the ramp, so a week or two.
Soon.
Yeah. Is that any problem with scheduling, Larry?
No, sir. I think we can let one.
Again, we're not talking about a long time frame in hauling. It'll be concentrated just over a couple of days. So we'll have to coordinate a little bit of our scheduling together.
Any other discussion or thoughts?
Mr. Roy.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, if I may, just for the record, during the course of the discussion, Mr. Cunning had the idea that his company may be involved in helping to finance this project, and so he has filed a potential conflict of interest statement with the clerk, and he has recused himself from further discussion regarding this matter. I just wanted that to be part of the record.
Okay.
Next item.
Okay.
Thank you, Darren.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Darren.
The next item we have is, if you recall, approximately 3 months ago, maybe 4 months ago, we discussed our new trash policies and what we want to do in the future. You had asked that we make some changes, that we would allow an unlimited amount of yard waste to be piled up, that we would remove all that. At that time, when we first started in July, we had about 100 piles a day that we were marking. When we sat down in September, we were down to marking around 25 to 35 piles every day. The good thing about it is at that time, people were cooperating with us. They would go ahead and remove the material that was not able to be picked up by the city based on the new ordinance. And we wound up only having to pick up 3 to 4 piles a day within that 48-hour time limit after the notices went out. Since that time, we've been continuing with the same process. We're now handing out maybe 5 to 10 notices, and that's the little notices that you got here. And only 1 or 2 individuals are not complying with the new regulations. Unfortunately, it seems to be the same 1 or 2 individuals almost every week. We have I know there's one in particular on Two Notch Road that every week we have a pile out there, for instance. And even though they have gotten the notices and they know what to do, they are not going to do it until we force the issue. So we have those kind of cases, and we feel we're at the point now where we're ready to move forward with the entire program. And the way we'd like to suggest that we would proceed is that starting in a couple of weeks, when we found a bad pile, we again let the people know it's a bad pile and put this notice at their door. If another pile appeared, we would then send them a certified letter. Maybe they didn't get the notice. Maybe they're just ignoring our notices, but we'd send them a certified letter. If it happened a third time, we'd remove the piles and go ahead and charge them the fees that you see on the notice here. These fees are double what they would be that if they called us up ahead of time and said, we have a pile out there we'd like you to pick up. You could just cut those prices in half, and that's what we would charge if someone gave us notice. Larry is here to answer any questions you have concerning this policy, but if council agrees, then we would go ahead starting February 1st with the new changes.
Does anyone else have any comments or items they want to talk about on this subject?
Well, we have made the changes. What we're talking about now is enforcing it.
That is correct.
I mean, now it's to put some teeth in this thing about if they're not doing what, if we don't do this, what good is an ordinance? Isn't that right?
I mean, one question I had was, when we start telling people to move their garbage, their household garbage out to the street, that's sort of a mixed pile, is it not? I mean,
you're talking about when they have the roll cart?
Well, does everyone have to have a roll cart if they're going to put their garbage on the street?
Yes, because that's the only way that we could pick up that garbage. We're not going
to. It has to be in. I think you said some of it could be boxed, did you not?
If they had some yard, let's say their roll cart was overflowing or they had too much, or if, let's say they had some material, maybe some plastic material or something, they could put it in a box or a bag next to it, and then we'd throw that into the truck.
I just don't want them to say, this is my weekly garbage. You can't find me because this is my garbage I'm putting out here.
Well, again, if it was bagged or boxed, we wouldn't care.
You don't have a problem with that?
No.
Then. Okay.
Correct, Larry?
Not necessarily.
Well, you better come on up here then and correct your city manager. That's okay.
I do have a follow-up question with James. Roger, we will, when it's totally implemented as far as the roll carts, every person in Aiken will have a roll cart which we will supply for them, and they will, if we roll it out, it'll be $5 a month. If they roll it out, then it's, but everybody will get a roll cart eventually.
Everybody will get a roll cart eventually. If a person is able to roll it back and forth, if they don't roll it to the street, we're not going to pick it up. But if they bring it out to the street and they don't return it to their house, we would charge them $5 to return it. Only those individuals who cannot physically roll it out would we go ahead and make that provision for them.
Yeah, but I thought that we do have a provision to where we would roll it out for an extra fee.
Okay, yes, that's that $5 per month.
Right, okay. So in other words, but my point was, they're not going to keep their same trash cans and put them out. Everybody's going to get a roll cart eventually.
Correct.
So really the key to this thing is you can put most anything you want to into that big, if it's a 70 gallon, I put fill mine up. Now, if you do bag it, if it's normal trash, you put it right by it. They picked that up and did it Christmas, but you have to separate it out for the other stuff. I think what we're talking about here is the leaves and the rest of it, whoever this is on Two Notch is putting construction debris in there, and that's what we're talking about enforcing on this.
That's correct.
Okay.
Correct. And to further clarify, Ms. Waters, if there's a pile of branches, somebody has trimmed a bush or whatever, and they put that out front, you know, that's what we will get. That's the normal stuff. If they decided, well, there's my pile, I'll just take my garbage out this week and just throw my bag on top of the pile, that is a mixed pile. They will get a red X for that.
Okay.
We would, if they are going to bring their garbage out, then they need to keep it separate where we know that, yes, that is their garbage, and then the truck will pick it up. But if it's put together with the pile, then that will get them a door hanger and a red X.
Okay.
But if they put, let's say they had a cardboard box and had some stuff in it, and they put that next to their roll cart.
Next to the roll cart, we will pick it up.
Or a bag next to the roll cart, you'll pick it up.
We will pick it up.
As long as it's not in or confused with the pile of yard trash.
That is correct.
Okay. So we're both correct.
We're both correct.
Well, you were lucky on that one.
You better believe it.
I've got a couple little nitpicky things. And they may not be worth anything. But as I read the back of the ticket, I have questions. We start off by saying only vegetative material can be placed at the street. But that's not true because we place the recycle bin at the street. This type of debris includes leaves, grass clippings, and tree branches. Does that include bush clippings?
This is for the trash. This does not address recycling or the roll carts.
Well, I know, but it's on the big thing here. It's on with the other things, and finally we get down to recycle at the bottom.
Right. Anything that's vegetative. It's vegetative. If they want to have a garden full of carrots and decide to put carrots out there, I guess that's vegetative. We would have to pick them up. But if they cook them first and throw them out, then that's garbage.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a real fine line we have to kind of split right there.
But I think I agree with what the mayor is getting at.
When you start off this whole thing by saying only vegetative materials can be placed at the street.
You mean
that's not true.
Stuff, right? You mean loose stuff, not in a bag, not in a box, not in a bin.
Yeah. That is correct.
So only vegetative material can be loosely placed at the street or can be loose at the street or whatever. But that's what you really want to say, is it not?
Yeah, it's true for yard things. Yard.
Right,
if you want to call
but,
all.
But Mr. Mayor, they're putting this out when they find a pile that has mixed stuff in it. So when the guy looks at it, he says, all right, I can only put out stuff that's vegetative. If he's putting recycled stuff in that pile, he can't do it. He's got to put that in recycled bin, right?
That's correct.
I understand that. I'm just reading the words, and I'm just wondering.
I think the word only is the difference.
If we're going to confuse people. I'm looking at this thing as if a six-year-old or eighth grader or something is reading it, and we know how important defining something to the nth degree is.
Because it's not a problem with changing it, just mark one up and we'll be glad to change
it. I'm just mentioning these things. Now, is there a limit to how much you put out?
We did away with it.
We did away with the limit.
Okay, all right, that answers that. How about how big? When you say tree branches, there's some big tree branches and there's some little tree branches.
Because
we put any size to it at all?
Because we did away with the limit, then we did not try to regulate size. The reason we did not regulate size, again, goes back to the homeowner that cuts a tree down, for instance. And if the homeowner cuts it down and puts the tree out front, we will get the whole tree. Now, we still go back to the fact of if a contractor is in there doing the work, we want that contractor to haul it. So if you contract with Chavis Tree, then we want Chavis Tree to haul that. We don't want them getting paid to do the work and then us have to come and finish up.
Do we tell the homeowner that anywhere here?
We did have that on there, but if you recall, we had the entire ordinance printed on there, which had that in it, and council asked us to simplify. This is our simplified version.
Well, couldn't we just simply say if work at your home is contracted, the contractor's responsible for any debris?
We can certainly have that.
The only situation, though, would be the fact that we're only handing this out when we see a bad pile. We won't know if that situation occurs unless somebody either reports it or tells us that it's occurred. Like today, I drove down a residential street, saw a commercial tree trimmer cutting limbs and hauling them to the street. What made it worse was he was cutting limbs at a residence in the county and hauling them into the city and expecting us not only because he's a commercial person to pick it up anyways, but they lived in the county. So we had our trash people explain that to him. I don't know what's happened to it, but again, this is only going to individuals who have a mixed pile. We won't know that situation unless someone reports it or we see it personally.
Okay. For a small fee, special pickups are available for large items. Should we in some way try to define one or two large items? Because it could be a small item, too. It could be an old computer that's sitting out there, right?
We put our number on there for them to call for the special pickup so that we can work with folks on that. Because the special pickup will pick up virtually anything for that. That was one thing we had discussed at length is what comprises a special pickup. And so, obviously, if someone called in and said, well, I have a computer to pick up, I'm going to ask, do you have your roll cart yet? Well, yes. Throw it in the roll cart. Don't waste your money having me come get it.
Right, right. Okay, good. Now, we talk about roll carts a lot. We've been talking about it for years, right? But there's not a mention of roll cart on this whole thing.
No, sir. Again, this is yard trash.
Please remember that your garbage cans and recycling bins can only be put out plus or minus 24 hours of pickup. We're putting out roll carts, hopefully, not garbage cans.
Good catch. We need to change that.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, the fee. I'm kind of hung up on $50 for a single item.
The fees are half of that. Those are the penalties right there.
Wait a minute. Excuse me a minute. I'm sorry. So we talk about a fee here, a small fee, and it's not these.
No, sir. It's not what these. Is on the front is if you have gotten a red X on your pile and you have violated to the point where we have to charge something, it will be those fees on the front. Again, if you call in based on the information on the back, that was one reason we didn't put the fees on there, was so there would not be confusion. For the small fee, call us and let us come and look at it and tell you. That way, we felt there was less confusion. If we put a $25 fee on the back, then when someone saw this and they said, well, it's 50 on the front and 25 on the back, which is it? You're just being arbitrary, circling 50. This way they'll call us for a special pickup and we can explain the fee structure to them.
Okay. Can you tell us what the fee structure is? Is it half of this?
Half of these? Yes.
Numbers?
That's the only time that we would charge that fee structure that's on the front would be after they're warned that they have 48 hours to remove the stuff from the pile and they decide not to remove it, and we had to go back and make that special pickup, then they would be. But if they remove the material from that, then there still is no fine.
Correct.
So, Larry, a phone call saves you 50%.
A phone call saves you 50% and may save you all of it. Again, if it's a small item and you can fit it in a roll cart, we're going to tell you to put it in the roll cart. And let's say that fills your roll cart up and you still have a bag or two of garbage. Well, when you bring the roll cart out to the curb, set the bag or two of garbage beside it and we'll get it. So we feel we can be very fair to our citizens in talking to them that way. And trying to keep down confusion by not having both of the fee structures on there. The fee structure that's on here right now basically presents a penalty in a sense that we have been out there at least twice on this individual pile. We've had to come. We've had to get rid of it. It's a bad pile. We have to haul it somewhere special. So we feel that the additional funds are applicable to that.
Now, if I have a computer that I want to throw away, do I have to put it in a bag and then put it in the roll cart?
No, ma'am. You can throw it straight in that roll cart.
So everything in the roll cart does not have to be bagged?
That's correct. We recommend that you still bag your kitchen trash or whatever before it goes in the roll cart because it'll keep it cleaner. Definitely keep it cleaner. But for instance, with mine, whenever my wife buys materials at Lowe's or Home Depot or whatever, and we have it left over, mulch bags, I did a little bit of remodeling, threw some drywall straight in there. Whatever will go in can go in.
Mm-hmm. Larry, there's another charge here, the $5 charge for returning any of the cans to the backyard or roll carts. I notice, Roger, in your write-up, you're saying that we recommend starting that February 1st. However, if I understand correctly, we're not starting the other find. We're giving warnings for the next couple of months. Is that right?
We'd use the same procedure as we are with the other ones, February 1st. for those that do not return a roll cart. In other words, we'd give them a warning and send them a certified letter. And then the third time, so if it happened 3 weeks in a row, the third week, then they were going to put the $5 fine on them.
Okay.
The that's, problem.
That's for the other things, not necessarily the roll cart. So
yes.
Do I understand it that we're starting the roll cart charge before we starting the other charge?
We would anticipate, and this is one thing that's going to be very difficult to track for us. We would anticipate using the $5 charge after a warning. And the reason for that, with the $5 charge to return the cart, it cost us more to go out and bring a second warning and send a certified letter than it would be for the $5. Certainly when you consider our personnel time and then the time it takes to do the letter and everything. We had recommended that, yes, we can do it that way. That is up to council, whether or not you would want us to do the roll cart return to the backyard that way, or just do a warning. After that warning, if they do it again, we charge them, and we save the certified letter. Again, just to send a certified letter, the cost of the letter alone is $2 or $3. So it may not be worth it to us for that. We don't feel that the folks who are looking at not returning roll carts, not returning garbage cans, not returning recycle bins, that ordinance has been on the book about a year longer than the trash ordinance. We went through Carlson Park. We had one of our folks who was on light duty. So every day for about 3 weeks, every time that a cart would be left out, they would go over, they would take it back, put a door hanger on, say, thanks for using our service. In the future, if we do this, it'll cost you $5. We still had about 30 to 45 carts and recycle bins left out, even though we were telling them. So we may want to rethink sending a certified letter. We may just want to go ahead and, okay, we've put a warning on. If you leave it out next week, it'll cost you $5.
I like that. I was concerned about us starting too soon without any kind of a warning, and I like the one warning at least. I think that's fair.
We think we can keep track of that fairly easily. Yeah. Keeping track of a warning and a certified letter with the number just in that single neighborhood alone, I use it as an example, probably is going to be very difficult for us to keep track of. As you could see from the information we gave you with the work session materials, keeping track of certified letters to folks with bad trash piles, we feel is going to be much easier. We're working with a consultant right now with our computer system to be able to generate these letters automatically. We had a conversation with him today, and that's part of the effort that we're doing to come up with a system to more or less ask our citizens, how are we doing? That same system can be used to generate the letters and keep track of these folks who, quite frankly, are taking advantage of the fact that Aiken's good-natured and wants to take care of our citizens. I don't want to be like a larger city where if you look cross-eyed, we're going to find you. I don't think that's Aiken. You know, we need to give the warning. So that's what we're working toward. But again, with the roll carts, you know, one warning and then going ahead and charging the $5. Due to just the volume of them, I think that may be a way that council might want to go.
Well, I'd certainly recommend to anybody that doesn't already have a roll cart to get the big one, get the 90-gallon one if you have space for it. Just for the fact you can put any and everything in there that'll fit.
When will we have it citywide?
It'll probably take us a couple of years, depending on the funding. Right now, we're seeing, because of the marketplace, plastic resin is going up tremendously, and we're going to see if we buy a number of them now, we might be able to save some money, so we might speed that process up. But Larry's looking at the pricing on that right now. Mm-hmm. But if it's not so much on buying them as much as getting them out in a timely manner and taken to a section of town, making sure everything's working well, then you go to the next section of town with a number of roll carts to make sure it's working well before you move on.
But all the new subdivisions, we have been requiring
every new house is getting one right now.
Right.
Correct. one final item that was not included in your package, and I do apologize. I meant to include it. Council had asked us to come up with a listing of the county drop-off sites. I do have those available for you, and we'll be glad to give those out to you, which shows all the county drop-off sites, where they are, and the phone number that citizens can call to find out about those if they have items that they just either don't want to pay us to pick up or just do not want to hold for a week. You know, if they're cleaning out the garage on a Saturday and they have a pickup bed load full of something, they want to get rid of it, then they could take it to these sites. And we do have those available for you.
Can we put that in the water bill?
I don't think we have, Ms. Waters.
That'd be great to put in there. I was just going to ask if we could give it to the people either on the internet, the newsletter would be even better, because that goes to county folks, some county folks too.
Do you have the times it's open and the days you can go?
We have, because the times do change on some of those, we put the phone number in there for the county, so our citizens could call and check on that.
We could probably put on their typical times and list some typical times so they at least would know what a typical time is for most of them.
Right. But it would be, you know, probably with that, you know, recommend that they do call just to make
call
sure.
Call ahead. But call ahead. They'll know that it is open on most Saturdays.
Right.
Now, can we put a note, some more information again in the newsletter about our trash?
Yes, I was planning on getting something out for the February newsletter.
I know it's been in there quite a bit, but.
We already have a question to ask. We're starting off with putting in the February newsletter. Larry, Larry, and Larry, you know.
Okay. Typically ask questions, and then we're going to put some answers in.
Good. And we've been working with Bill on that to have that ready for the February. And again, there's no coincidence on the timing. That's why we were trying to time the start of the three warning system and then the fine as of February 1. So that would come out with the water bills. And again, we feel people should at least be seeing that. You know, most folks do at least look at their water bills. Now, the ones that do not get a water bill, if it's an automatic draft or something, we'll be sending those out to them separately.
I have automatic draft, and I still
get I get one, too.
Right. Yeah. And that's why I say we want to make real sure that you do get that, and those are out there, and folks do get those.
We do.
Now, you'll put it in the recycling bin.
Not planning on putting these in the recycling bin. We haven't had real good luck communicating that way. A lot of folks, I hate to say it, but a lot of folks think, oh, that's just a piece of paper, got stuck down in there, and they never look. So we found it much better to communicate through the water billing cycle.
Okay. Have we agreed to do anything on the back of his car at all?
We're going to make a couple of those changes.
Because I think the only...
You got some good language here for us?
Well, if you're referring to an open pile, you could say something like only vegetative material can be placed openly at the street, or I don't know how you would put it in there, but you want to...
That's good.
Makes it more clear.
You want to say that only the vegetative material can be loosely placed on the
street. You just take the word only off, I think.
Okay.
Just start with vegetative material can be placed at the street. This type of debris includes leaves, grass clippings, and tree branches.
But everything else...
It doesn't say you can't... It doesn't say it's the only thing that can be...
Correct. Placed.
That was my concern. That some people might think, gee...
And to get away from the fee thing, you could say, please call 642-7613 to schedule a special pickup and receive the fee structure. Because right now, they would, if you read this, you would think the fee structure is the stuff on the back. I mean, I think that's a little confusing, but, I mean, it does say, for a small fee, special pickups are available. I mean, and these are only going to be put out to the people that aren't adhering to the policy.
That is correct.
How about small fee?
You want to put down a large fee?
No, if the fee is going to be half if they make the phone call, you know, if they feel like, well, you're going to charge me $50 anyway, I may as well leave it there. But if you say it for a smaller fee.
That was one reason we stated on the back for a small fee.
I think that's a good idea.
Just add the ER to the small, and that would work.
That's good.
Well, I do think somebody's going to get mixed up because they're going to say, where's the fee? And they're going to look over here, $50 for a single item. So.
Well, there's no question. I'm confused. My wife thought that it was $5 a day penalty for leaving your your bend out, your pull out, $5 a day. She said, that's exorbitant. I said, Wayne, it's only at $5 one time. Isn't that what it is? It's not $5 a day, I hope.
$5 each time we take it back.
I know, but I mean, it's not if they don't take it right. In other words, say out there 30 days, she was thinking it was
money maker.
Now, that doesn't mean you can leave it out there all year and just take it back. And just pay $5. Okay, anything else? Thank you, Larry, for all the good work you and your team have done on this thing. Anything else? Want to take a quick break? Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Aiken City Council meeting of January 10th, 2005. And we appreciate you being with us. And if you would, please stand with us for a prayer and a pledge of allegiance.
Let us please bow our heads in prayer. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, you've again somehow favored us and spared our lives and brought us into a new year. A year, dear Father, we feel that is filled with hope and filled with opportunities for us again to give service to mankind. And for this, dear Father, we say thank you. As we pause, dear Father, to give thanks to you, we cannot forget the many families that have been impacted with the chemical spill in Graniteville. We pray for those families who lost loved ones and are impacted with health concerns with the spill. Some of them, their Father, may be asking why, but we realize that you alone serve as the giver of life. We ask that you give each family the strength that they need for whatever healing they need and to look for you for guidance. But we too, Father, as we deliberate our agenda this evening, will strive to make decisions based on your divine guidance and always be mindful and careful to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. We pray this prayer in your name, dear Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda? If not, do we have a motion to...
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to make an addition, please. I'd like to move that we place the Livingston ordinance on the next agenda for some additional consideration. It's the Livingston Waterloo Street ordinance.
Okay. Do we need what? Two others? To
at least three council members need to approve that before it can go on to be heard again.
Well, what is it? It's to place what on the agenda? I don't understand.
Bring the ordinance back up for another first and second reading.
Doesn't that have to wait 6 months if something is denied?
Under the under your rules of procedure, and I'm looking at paragraph 6 of the section of the city code that governs how city council meetings are run. Under paragraph 6, there are certain motions that are allowed by city council. Paragraph 6L deals with motions to reconsider. And that paragraph says, motions to reconsider may only be taken up at the meeting at which the matter is under consideration. And that paragraph then goes on to say, nothing in this subsection should be construed to prevent the original matter from being placed on the agenda for a subsequent meeting if requested by at least three council members. And so if three council members join with Mr. Sprawl's motion, then it would be appropriate to put it back on the agenda at the next council meeting or whichever council meeting council decides to put it on.
Okay. That being the case, Mr. Mayor, I will second Don's motion.
Do we have another?
Reconsider bringing it up for another hearing.
Well, normally we have some discussion before we do this.
Isn't voting on that? He'll come back.
All you're doing now is voting to add it to the end of the agenda for discussion.
Just putting it on the agenda.
Talk about it again.
Tonight's agenda.
Correct.
Okay, is that your motion, Don? Is that what you're talking about doing? We're talking about the agenda and deletions,
additions.
Add it
to the agenda for discussion tonight.
To bring it up for the next meeting, right?
Well, now, let's...
Really, if I may, it's a fairly simple matter. If the council members want to have the agenda item discussed at the next council meeting, that's all. It's not a matter of let's add it to the end of the agenda and then let's vote for it. It's got to pass 4-3 or at least 4 in favor. On this particular motion, only 3 council members have to vote in favor of that motion. If 3 council members vote in favor of that motion, then it would be brought up at the next agenda, on the next agenda.
And when you say brought up on the agenda, you're talking as a first reading?
I believe it would be appropriate, since it was an ordinance, for it to go through two readings again.
Okay, I just want to make sure everybody understands what...
So anything that we vote on, if 3 of us want to bring it back immediately, it can be brought back.
That's correct.
So we can be voting over and over and over on the same thing.
That's the procedure that your rules allow.
No, it won't be passed, or it might be passed, but it won't be passed on the first reading.
But
even if it is put on the next agenda. Well, we need three. This is the legal procedure. So we have 2, right? Don and Pat. Is there another?
I want to be fair to what the whole question here and voting, and I want to make sure that there is an issue that Don has, which is why he's raising, obviously, this be placed on the agenda, that we hear him out, and I want the right form to do that, but it's just the right form to do that.
Right. Look, why don't we, this is a time to add or delete items from the agenda. All we have to do is say, let's add this to the agenda.
The next time.
Not tonight, and we'll talk about it when we get to it.
That's not what he's saying.
That's not what he's proposing.
Well, I've asked, are there any additions or deletions to the agenda?
Okay, well, let's add it to number 7 or whatever.
All right, let's add it to number 7. When we get down to new business number, that'll be number 7. And discussion of...
You're calling this under 16 under L, under subparagraph L.
That's what I understand Mr. Sprawl's motion to be, yes, sir.
But that's a motion to reconsider and may only be made before adjournment of the meeting at which the original action was taken. Period.
Correct. But the third sentence also says nothing in this subsection should be construed to prevent the original matter from being placed on the agenda for a subsequent meeting if requested by at least 3 council members.
Okay, so we're not reconsidering it, but we're actually going to start all over again, is
correct.
What you're saying.
Mm-hmm. First reading.
First reading.
But first of all, we're going to discuss it when we get down to number 7 under new business.
So the motion right now is to add it to the agenda for discussion.
Yeah, right. One person can say something about it. Let's add this item. Okay, fine. Unless there's a majority that do not want to add it to the agenda. I mean, I'm off adding it to the agenda. I don't know that I wouldn't be for adding anything to the agenda to discuss. Mm-hmm. So I think we've got 4 people. Beverly, I haven't heard from you. I haven't heard from anybody else.
I don't mind adding it if we're just going to discuss it.
Okay, so we've got a majority that wants to add it. Okay? Does that take care of
Does that mean we can bring up the funeral home thing?
And then we can talk about it all night long if you want.
Well, I thought what we were going to do, well, never mind. I'll talk about it later. I also like to add to the agenda or just get some information about the street signs that were, I thought, so well done for Christmas and what we're doing right now to get them permanent and for up by Masters or up by early spring or something like that. I'd just be interested in an update on that, so if we could add that as a point of discussion.
All right,
maybe.
Number eight.
And Fred, may I speak just no more than 15 minutes?
What would you like to talk about?
About
not right now, but I mean when we get to it.
About the parking of trucks, huge amounts. I'd like to pass this drawing on.
Okay, that would be number nine. Al, okay. Okay, and the signs would be number eight. Jane, excuse me. Okay?
That's fine.
All right. Is that it?
Yes.
We need to need a motion and a second then to approve the agenda.
So moved. Second.
Okay, show of hands, please. Okay, passes unanimously. Okay. First item of the minutes, consideration of the minutes of the work session of December 8th, 2004, and the work session and regular meeting of December 13th, 2004. Are there any changes necessary, corrections? If not, do we have a motion and a second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
A second.
Okay, any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passed unanimously. Under old business, first item has to do with appointments to boards and commissions. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. We have one reappointment tonight, and that's the reappointment of McDonald Law to the Historic Preservation Commission, as recommended by Mayor Kavanaugh. His term would expire December 31st, 2006, and then we have several others that could be appointed or reappointed after this.
Okay, thank you, sir. I do make a motion to reappoint McDonald Law to the Historic Preservation Commission. Hope I have a second.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, ma'am.
May I at this time mention that I would like to reappoint Marilyn Brown to the Environmental Committee?
Okay. Sure. Any others? Okay. Item two, then, is the second reading public hearing of an ordinance accepting the fiscal year 2003-2004 audit. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, I'll read this by title only. It's an ordinance accepting fiscal year 2003-2004 audited financial statements and authorizing the variances to the fiscal year 2003-2004 budget ordinance. Council heard from the auditors at their last meeting. It was a clean audit. It was I highly commend Anita and her staff and working with the auditors. This is the last year that Cherry Beckett and Holland will perform the audit for us. Beginning as of this last July 1st, Elliot Davis will be doing the audits for the next 3 years. By passing this tonight, you will pass the changes to the original budget and reflects the spending needs that we had during this past fiscal year on every line item. You did approve this first reading on December 13th. This is the second reading public hearing of the ordinance approving the fiscal year 2003-2004 audit and the variances to the 2003-2004 budget ordinance.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is a second reading and public hearing of this ordinance, and if there's anyone in the audience that would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration. Do we have a motion and a second?
So may I move that we accept the fiscal year 2003-2004 audited financial statements?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? I, too, would like to congratulate Anita and her team for a wonderful job they do with their finances every year. We have good audits, and we appreciate very much what that group does for us to keep us all straight. Any other comments? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Item 3 is a second reading public hearing of an ordinance to deed the right-of-way to Woodside Property Owners Association. Mr. LeDuc.
This is, read this by title only, it's an ordinance approving the sale and conveyance of the property owned by the City of Aiken, known as the remaining southwest portion of Eastgate Drive in Aiken, South Carolina. It came to our attention a while back that the portion along Eastgate Drive that's outside the gate owned by the city and the portion inside the gate not owned by the city was on the same irrigation system. To rectify this problem, we determined that the portion outside the gate, which we have no real interest in, it'd be easy to resolve the problem and have all this irrigated area owned by the POA. Meantime, the city would retain its interest in the water, sewer, and storm drainage in that area, but deed the property to the POA. So before you tonight is an ordinance to approve this deed of dedication. You did have the first reading on December 13th, and this is the second reading and public hearing consideration of an ordinance to deed the right-of-way of Eastgate Drive from the edge of the traffic circle to the gate owned by POA.
Thank you, sir. This is a second reading and public hearing of this ordinance, and if there's anyone that would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we pass this order to deed the right-of-way to Woodside Property Owner Association to be effective immediately.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second. Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Item 4 is a second reading public hearing of an ordinance to reassign the lease agreement for property at Aviation Business Park. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. I'll read this by title only. It's an ordinance approving a hangar sale and assignment of a lease between RL Enterprise and Bonzer Air, LLC. Council, back in the 90s, approved a lease agreement with RL Enterprise and modified that in 99 and 2001. One of those areas of modification basically said that anytime there was a reassignment of the lease, council needed to approve that. Back in 2001, the lease was assigned to James Lyle, and they would like to reassign this lease now to Bonzer Air, LLC, so they could sell them this property. Council did approve this at their meeting in December, and this is the second reading public hearing of an ordinance reassign the lease for the hangar located at Aiken Municipal Airport from RL Enterprise to Bonzer Air, LLC. And I just want a side note here is, we recently had a great opportunity working with the FBO, and Zipper Robbins is here tonight, and a local senator and some other representatives in having an opportunity to discuss our ILS with individuals up in Washington. It was a very successful trip, and hopefully within the near future we'll hear something more about that. And I say that because it was about 3 years ago that we met with a number of the pilots concerning the airport, and they had asked the City Council consider strongly lengthening the major runway, overlaying that major runway, and then to consider the ILS. Through the support of our FBO, Zipper Robbins, Mike Labor, we have been able to be very successful in the first two phases, and this is the third and final phase. And once we receive the ILS, as great as things are out there now, it'll even be greater and better yet. So, you know, I really congratulate our FBO for everything he does out there day in and day out to support the city and our community.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. And thank you, Zipper. Thank you. Tell Mike we appreciate y'all's efforts out there. It's really a change over the previous years. Positive change. Okay. This is the second reading and public hearing of this ordinance to reassign the lease agreement for the property at Aviation Business Park. If anyone in the audience would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve the reassignment of the lease agreement for property at Aviation Business Park.
Okay.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Under new business, the first reading of an ordinance to rezone property on Two Notch Road. Mr. LaDuke, please.
Yes, I'll read this by title only. It's an ordinance to rezone certain property located at 1506 Two Notch Road from residential single family RS10 to limited professional. This piece of property, according to the comprehensive plan, its proposed zoning as an LP is consistent with what is in the comprehensive plan, so I think that's a very important part. When you look around the property, it's all zoned LP, except for some property across the street, which is the Carolina Bay. The Planning Commission voted 42 in favor of this rezoning. They intend to put a doctor's office at this location. And so for City Council consideration, this is first reading of an ordinance to rezone property at 1506 Two Notch Road from RS15 to limited professional. Upon your consideration, a second reading public hearing will be held.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion on this?
Yes, Mayor, I move that we approve this ordinance on first reading to rezone the property on Two Notch Road and step to the next public meeting.
Okay. Do we have a second? Okay, any discussion?
I've had a couple of calls only because, for several reasons, but the main interest was to be sure that business zoning is not creeping up Two Notch Road. I mean, is it going to stop here, or is this going to be the next lots eligible because this one is done? Or you see what I'm saying? And that has been a source of anxieties to some of the people.
The current LP zoning, if you would look on the drawing that's right here, goes up one more lot, and that would be the extent of it in that area. So the intent of what was in the comprehensive plan was to stop it right around Palm Drive, right around the area where Palm Drive would, the back that circles.
So there is another house then that would be?
Based on what I see here currently, that other house is zoned RS15, but again, the LP area was extended all the way to the back of Palm Drive and out to Two Notch Road. And I'm looking for Ed Evans. Is that incorrect?
The comprehensive plan.
Ed, would you come up to the mic, please?
At least according to this drawing here, Ed, it shows that LP is in this whole area.
The comprehensive plan shows the northern boundary of this property as being the end of the office land use. From there northward, it's low-density residential.
So it doesn't go up to Palm Drive?
Correct.
Does that small piece right there, is that included or not included in the comprehensive plan? I'm looking at the
just north of this property, you've got a right-of-way, I believe, that goes back to the property behind it.
And that's LP?
Well, are you talking future land use? You're talking zoning. I mean, it is zoned LP behind there now, as is that right-of-way.
I got you. So this property you're asking about rezoning is surrounded by LP on the east. Correct. Right.
Well, it says correct. Not.
But the small portion which shows single family, the one next to the right-of-way, is that in a comprehensive plan to remain single family?
Low-density residential.
So, correct. Jane, to answer your question, is that the comprehensive plan stops there?
This would be the last, according to the plan, this would be the last.
According to the comprehensive plan.
It wouldn't just be, well, the next door says, well, it's next door, so it's that's not the same. So that's a different situation.
Right. Now, the only way that would change would be if council decides that you wanted to rethink the comprehensive plan and to make any of that residential something else.
Well, sure. But we could do that anytime.
Anytime you want
to. Right.
But currently, the comprehensive plan shows that to be residential to the north.
Mm-hmm. other comments? Discussion? We have a motion and second. This is first reading. Yes. If you'd like to speak, you may speak. It's not advertised as a public hearing, but if there's someone in the audience who wants to speak, and as long as council agrees, and I don't hear any disagreement, so if you'd like to speak, sure.
Hi, it's
okay.
First reading. My name is Michael Sullivan. My wife, Julia, and I are the owners of 1205 Two Notch, which is just down the road from this property. I did speak at the Planning Commission meeting for a couple of different reasons, and I should start by saying that I do not know the proposed buyers, nor do I know the seller, and I'm sure they're perfectly fine people and with the best of intentions. What I had said at the Planning Commission was started with the notion of highest and best use, and I fully respect and understand this is zoned LP. With that said, it did beg the question what the actual highest and best use is for the neighborhood. And if we can come back and not rely immediately yet on the comprehensive plan, if you will, as a crutch, but to come back and say, how does this specific use of this property actually comport with the highest and best use of the neighborhood, not of that of this specific asset, meaning this house? The Planning Commission at the time, when they looked at it, the comment was, well, there's LP to north, south, and east, and by sort of implication, what's the big deal? It's already surrounded. Well, in point of fact, it is not surrounded. And I think there were several cars, and perhaps some people from the City Council were viewing this property a couple of days ago. This house faces the road, obviously, and it faces the Carolina Bay. It is true that there is a professional building to the, gosh, what it would be? To the south, thank you. There is an egress into this new residential development that's coming in, and there is a house on the north side of that. So really, to, I guess, Ms. Vollard's point, I appreciate you bringing that up, right now the current professional building that is there is the last professional building. It is not clear to me that this that turning this into a converting this into a doctor's office is a highest and best use from the standpoint of the neighborhood. It certainly is for this asset class, but it is not necessarily for this neighborhood. And I would point out the obvious concerns that we all have about traffic on Two Notch. As we all know, if I own a business, I want as much, generally speaking, as much traffic as possible. So the objectives of the business are specifically opposite to the objectives of most residences. We all live in areas we hope are as quiet as possible, still busy enough to warrant city services, but as quiet as possible. These people, if they're smart, no doubt they are, they want the exact opposite of that. They want as busy a road as possible and as much visibility along that road. Two Notch has certainly not been helped in the near term by the presence of the light at the new Kroger, which is going to serve to run more traffic. If there's another stoplight at Kroger near Whiskey Road, people are going to be more inclined to run along the other access road to come along Price than to cut along Two Notch. Two Notch is already, when that Kroger comes in and when that light comes in, is already going to face increased traffic. So in short, the first point I would make is that it's not clear that this is a highest and best use in the context of this neighborhood. It may be highest and best use for this particular asset, but not for the neighborhood. That was the first one. The second point I would make is there was some uncertainty as to within the rubric of what is defined as limited professional. It can be a bit of a slippery slope. Let's say that, you know, heaven forbid, this a doctor's office comes in and they can't make a go of it. Say they decide to fold up after a year or retrench, make their operations smaller, and say that asset then can't be moved for another 6 months and they want to sell it. I would be willing to wager that the next potential purchaser of that product would be looking then for the next, if you will, lowest economic value. And you all have opined on this and seen this in recent times when someone comes in and may request a special exception to the limited professional designation. That, it seems to me, becomes a rather slippery slope. Yes, it's quote-unquote designated LP. What happens then if that asset class doesn't work for that owner. That owner jettisons that property, and then we're all left saying, okay, well, you know what? I'll exaggerate. Maybe a tattoo parlor is okay because that's the only thing we can do with it. We can't turn it back into a house. So that would be the second concern that I would have. And the third one that I would posit to you all is, again, just this issue of the opposing values. As a businessman that I have, where I want to generate as much traffic as possible as opposed to a residence owner. And that, from what I understand, you all are in the process of trying to redefine what it means to be LP. And I think it would be perhaps prudent to consider this property in the context of that, because I can most assure you that you would have a very I would guess that there would be certainly a very strong reaction to this if the umbrella of LP were widened to some businesses that we all might think of as necessary but not quite as desirable, and then suddenly impacting our neighborhood. And I would still go back to the point that you all made about this position. You have a residence on one side. You have an egress into a future residential development right next to it. You have the woods across the way. And then you have this house. By no means is this house surrounded by LP. It is within the LP designation, but it is not surrounded by structures that are that. And I think if you drive this neighborhood and you see this house, you would think this makes sense as a residence. The fourth point I would make is something that Ed Giobbe brought up at the Planning Commission the other day, and that was, to Mr. LeDuc, was commenting about the future residential development that's happening behind. He had a very good question at the time, which is, what is to preclude those new property owners of that new development, because it's LP, what is to prevent them from saying, you know, I have a house in a 50-house development, and I'm going to turn into a beauty salon, or I'm going to turn mine into my own what have you. I don't think that there is any current prevention of that kind of activity. And so, and I suppose that points then to this issue of LP and whether or not City Council has actually finalized what is truly designated limited professional. And I'll stop with that, and I thank you for your time.
Where is your home, you said?
Our house is at the corner of Two Notch and Boardman. And that is, Ms. Price, that is about a third to a half a mile down the road. On the opposite side of the street.
You're in the big house that was apartments at one time?
Yes.
And then you converted it to a residence?
Yes.
You're
converting.
Converting to a single family?
Slow process, I'm afraid.
The only comment, and I understand what you're saying, I think that the LP zone was arrived at as much as trying to pick things that would go in there that would have limited traffic. I think that's one of the things that they, in other words, I would certainly agree with you, if it was GB, they would want as much traffic as they possibly can to come in. But part of the reasoning is that LP is a zone that can function near residential, I believe. Is that's part of it. So I understand your argument, but that's part of the reason why the LP does give you a little bit more. And it's designed for that, and part of the reasoning is because of the amount of traffic that LP normally would generate. So I understand where you come from, but it is, and the comprehensive plan, which we spent a lot of time on, I would agree with you that anything further north strictly should stay residential. I agree with Jane on that. But on this particular case, because of the LP, I believe that it's probably the makes sense from a land plan use of this. But you do have some good points that you bring up.
Well, thank you for your time.
Well, the property currently is zoned RS-15.
Yes, it's
for residential.
It's residential. The properties, that's what they're asking for as a change, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right,
the
LP.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Michael, thank you very much. I, too, understand your points, both sides, the business side and the other side. However, I think the comprehensive plan lays it out that this can be done. I don't think there'd be that much traffic. That land across the street, by the way, is, if I'm not mistaken, Roger, is under a conservation easement. Therefore, can't be changed.
That is absolutely correct.
So that, there's no reason to believe that the land across the street would ever be anything other than what it is. And as you well know, I think we're doing whatever needs to be done down Two Notch Road, on the dirt road especially, with the speed humps and whatever else is going to be necessary. We're trying to change the speed limit, lower that as well. And hopefully that would hinder some people from coming down Two Notch. But I understand what you're saying, and this is one of these kind of on the fence kind of things, but I do support this on first reading because I think it's a good use of that. I don't see anything that's really bad about it not supporting it.
Are there private restrictions on the residential area to prohibit what you described as a resident? There probably are private restrictions on there, is there not? On the land behind it, or is there anything built on it now?
No, supposed to be a fairly large residential development, from what I understand. But I don't know the current disposition of that. This proposed disposition, I probably refer to be large residential development.
Okay.
That's all I know.
Ed, do you know any of the details on that? On the proposed?
I believe we have a subdivision plat pending for that right now that I don't think it's been approved, but there's maybe 40 or 50 units, attached units in clusters of four.
Do you know where it stands?
I believe it's pending right now in our department. I don't think we've approved it yet that I recall, but it's close to being approved if it's not already approved.
It seems to me to if we want to keep that residential, it may be something to look at when that comes in, to at least look at and say, would you want to have this zoned, which is what your highest and best use is on that residential? You understand what my point is? In other words, if it was changed to RS6, 8, or whatever it would be, it would solve the problem that we have here that something could change in it.
Right. I mean, you won't be seeing any plans or have any role in that development. It's zoned appropriately, and they meet the regulations. And so, once it's approved, it can be built.
It will be a higher density home ownership attached houses.
I guess my point is that in the development business, if something zoned and something could happen like this, it would give me greater assurance that if I buy one of those things, that I don't want it to be changed to whatever could be used. My point is, we're trying to be proactive here with the downtown development. Maybe we need to be proactive with this development and say, listen, don't you think you would like to have it zoned, what you're doing? I'm talking about the land that's developed behind it. That's just to be proactive with it. In other words, if he doesn't want to do it, that's fine. But to me, it would help sell the properties if it's zoned properly and they know it's protected.
My guess is they would have, as you say, restrictions that would prevent any, undesirable things going on. And we could propose to him that he ask for rezoning. My guess is he's not going to want to get into that.
If you ask for that rezoning, remember the problems we had off of Spencer Drive when it was zoned residential? And we had to go ahead and go before, get some variances on the width of the lots and other things. Under LP, we didn't have to do that.
Yeah. Well, now, with LP, the buildings have to be farther from the lot edge. Is that not correct than in residential? They have to be set back 25 feet instead of 10 feet?
Are you talking the side property lines?
I'm just talking where it can be, where stuff can be built in relation.
On the side property lines, they can be attached in LP. In RS15, RS10, RS8, you have to have a 10-foot setback from the side property line, but LP allows attached units.
Attached to what?
How about
to
each
other?
How about the front and back? How about the front and back end?
But 20-foot setback for single family in LP, I think it's, I would have to look, I think it's also 20 feet if I recall. But
aren't you really trying to get up what's the perimeter
That's right.
of the entire property?
Are there any differences there?
No.
Could they build those attached things right up to the property line?
No. Oh, no.
10 feet, or there's got to be some setback. I think that's what Jane said.
Yeah, I think the setback's greater if it's LP. And I'll tell you another, well, are there trees on that property?
The rear setback in LP is 25 feet. In RS-15, it's 20% of the depth of the lot to a maximum of 50 feet, so you have to look at the depth of the lot to determine it. Side setback is 10 feet in both zones, so it's the same in LP and RS-15.
And the tree ordinance applies in the LP zone, but not in the right now in this R6?
It's not going to apply in RS6. Now, and it doesn't apply to this proposed development behind this property in the LP zone because it's technically single family, even though it's attached. But it does not apply to that property because it's single family.
If it was a residential PUD, would it? Would the tree ordinance, would the tree, the design apply?
The way it stands today, if it's attached single family, you know, on individual lots, no, it would not apply. It would to apartments or, you know, commercial.
I only mention it because of the gentleman did have a good point about the land use behind it, but if we need to work on that aspect if we can get done from the person that's bringing it in.
And before you leave, I'm resting here, and I know that this is first reading, so maybe we shouldn't get into all this deliberation, but I need it. From my understanding, if you approach second reading of this this ordinance change, you have an area that's zoned RS-15. The owner is requesting rezoning to LP. And I'm trying to decipher the Waterloo situation in terms of the owner having purchased a piece of property and requesting rezoning of that property versus this circumstance. Help me understand the difference here in terms of Waterloo and what we engaged in there and this, the same piece of property.
Wow.
But again, think about that. And
I believe this property hadn't been sold yet. The applicant, or the owner is showing as being the estate of James Lackey. The applicant is a potential purchaser. So they haven't actually bought the property yet.
But it's currently zoned LP.
It's currently zoned RS-15.
And she wants it zoned.
Yeah, RS-15.
Right. And she wants it.
But everything around it is
zoned LP.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Again, to the north, it's only that right-of-way that goes back to the property behind it. On the other side of that is RS-15. It's just a narrow strip of LP that could not be built on.
And again, LP is a transitional zone between residential, single-family, and typically a higher zone.
Correct.
So that's typically used to transition from residential to something else.
Correct.
I have clarify this for me. If the development goes forward on the LP zoning and someone within the development decides, as the gentleman suggested, that they want to do a beauty shop or
taxi property.
Well,
lending business or whatever that's going to LP, how difficult is that going to be with them having covenants in here?
Well, you couldn't do it legally.
Yeah, the covenants are a private matter, as Gary will tell you. But, I mean, as you well know, beauty parlors are not allowed in LP today. Neither are tattoo parlors. Now, theoretically, I guess somebody could have an attorney's office back in that development or whatever else is allowed in LP, office-oriented, but no retail kinds of things, theoretically. But again, I think the covenants would probably prevent that.
If they have covenants.
If they have covenants.
Let me ask you a question. This is going to be kind of interesting. If it stays RS-15, residential, could they not come and ask for a variance to put a beauty salon in there?
No, I mean, only as a home occupation.
But you could, if you go to, can't you do that?
If the person lived there, they could have a home occupation in that zone, with it zoned RS-15.
And put a beauty salon there.
Right, and there are a lot of limits on that.
That's unusual.
But it could
but
only...
They couldn't devote the whole building to a beauty salon.
No, I mean, somebody could live there and have a beauty salon there in at RS-15.
Well, they could have any home business, could they not? If it
not
only...
all, not any home business, I don't
well, think. Yes.
Well, with restrictions. There are a lot of restrictions.
Of parking and things like that.
Signage is a restriction.
Number of employees.
Yeah. Some of those might have to be approved by the zoning board. Some would be allowed automatically.
Well, remember the fellow that wanted to do the photography studio, and we suggested, why don't you just do a home business and use a portion of the building? Because there was a percentage, what, 20%?
Is 25.
It, that can be used, you know. And he said, well, he just couldn't. It wasn't going to work to do it that way. But that was always a possibility. That's always a possibility. With like you said, with parking limitations and sign limitations and all that sort of stuff.
But as you make your point, the apartments or the attached homes can now be built in that LP. We have no say in it whatsoever.
Correct.
So we're really back to just talking about that other parcel.
Okay, any other discussion here on first reading? We have a motion and a second.
Good evening, I'm Martin Buckley. I live right across from the Sullivans, and you perhaps have heard me before speak about my feelings of Two Notch Road and the traffic on Two Notch Road. We had a petition asking for four or five stop signs, and we got one, and it doesn't seem to be doing very much of a job, although I'm sure you probably think it does a better job than I do. But we have Two Notch Road and Boardman, and Mr. Sullivan lives at the corner of both of them and gets the benefit of both of them, are turning into little linear racetracks around town. We have city vehicles, emergency vehicles, all sorts of traffic going quite fast along there. Sometimes they stop for the stop sign, sometimes they do not. We are talking about limited professional just down the street because based on a previous bad decision to put other than residential in the area. The street, Two Notch, has a park at one end, a park, a family park, a park with children in it, basketball courts, this sort of thing, and horses at the other. And previously it was all residential in between. There was a mistake made to introduce spot zoning, which has now become the wedge to turn it into something other than a residential area. Now, it's pretty easy to sit around and think that, well, Two Notch doesn't matter too much. You know, at one point, Two Notch, well, you know, a long time ago, Washington Road in Augusta probably was calmer than Two Notch. And we have, it's too late maybe to get it back to where it was, but we don't have to make it to compound the problem here. I like to see the residential areas in town respected. And the high density high traffic, high density use put into areas that are appropriate for it. And sprinkling it here and there, spreading it out, it just makes a mess of the whole area. Now, I know it's glamorous to get all this sort of thing in there and cram it in any way you can, but think about it. Now, you know, we might be here talking about Burgundy Road next time or something, and I'm not sure that everyone really wants LP next door to them or down the street or whatever. So just please give it a thorough consideration. Do you want this to happen down the street from where you live? Thank you very much. I appreciate your patience.
Thank you, Martin.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Discussion? Martin, you mentioned, before we go on, just since you mentioned this, people not stopping at the stop signs?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'd heard some good reports, and I've been down that road many times, and I haven't seen anybody running them, but that doesn't mean they're not doing it. I'm just saying what I've seen. We'll have to ask the public safety to look at that.
Public safety is one of the offenders.
All right. All right. We'll have to ask Led, then, to come down here. No, seriously, we'll look at that. Any other discussion? We have a motion and a second, then. All in favor of this passing this on first reading, show of hands. Okay. Opposed? 3. Okay, it passes 4-3 on first reading, and so it will go on to second reading. Item 2 is the first reading of an ordinance to rezone property at the Willow Run Business Park. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. I'll read this by title only. It's an ordinance amending the zoning of real estate owned by Aiken Corporation from general business, light industrial, residential, multifamily, low density, RML, and industrial to limited manufacturing. Currently at the Willow Run property, which there's 18.5 acres, there's four different zones, and they would like to consolidate this as one particular zone, which is limited manufacturing. Council approved this type of zoning this past fall, which would allow firm to come in there to do some manufacturing work, some processing, fabricating, to package goods. It would not allow consideration of noxious noises, glare, dust, odors, high hazardous materials be in that area. The Planning Commission felt that this was appropriate for what they were intending for this area, and they did approve this unanimously. This is the first reading of an ordinance to rezone 18.5 acres of property at Willow Run Business Park as limited manufacturing, and upon your consideration, a second reading and public hearing would be held at the next regularly scheduled meeting.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion?
Mr. Mayor, I know we've discussed this a lot, and I do feel like this is probably a lot better than what we had intentionally planned to zone this, and I'd like to move forward. Passage of this on first reading.
Okay.
I second.
We have a second. Any discussion? If not.
Fairly, do you think that the people that objected, you've talked with them, you know the people that objected.
Yeah, some of the things that were in the other category are not in this one, and I think it's a whole lot more. It's a whole lot easier to deal with this zoning than what was originally planned. And I think this came about because when we went to the Planning Commission meeting, there were some concerns about what was planned.
Yeah, that's what I was remembering.
And so they were asked to go and rework it and come back with something different, and this is it. And it does look better to me.
And this,
in my backyard, I can live with it. And
that's what I was interested in. And this will be posted tomorrow, right?
Ed?
Oh, there's Ed.
Yes, he said yes, Jane.
What? Okay.
To answer your question.
This is first reading, so.
Yeah. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion?
I didn't hear a second.
No, second.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I would just like to state it for reference because personally I'm just concerned about limited manufacturing. It's my personal concern, but for the record, and maybe we can do this on the second reading, I don't know, defining for our record what general business constitutes, and I know we've got this in this document here, and what limited manufacturing constitutes. And I just want to make sure that we don't have amnesia, that we end up with something there in terms of manufacturing that causes health concerns with the individuals. That's my biggest concern.
Please tell me again, what would you like before next meeting?
I want it stated clearly in terms of general business and the designation of limited manufacturing, and that we don't place anything in that business park that provides some health concerns for the residents that are in close proximity to this designation change. I know we said in this that activities that were considered nauseous was noise, glare, dust, odor, high hazard, but I just want, for the record, stated very clearly here that this doesn't come back to haunt us.
I think it is important to note that part of this land now is zoned industrial, right, which means you could put all that in there. So what we're trying to do is upzone that, which would, so I mean, it's not the majority of it, but a portion of this land is industrial right now, which they could put whatever they wanted to on there as far as that would meet the requirements, right?
18.5 acres in question is zoned general business. Is that not right?
No, part of it's zoned industrial. Right, I don't know. Part of it was zoned industrial.
Part of it's already
in fact, four different zones, as I understand.
I think it's on the planning.
Yeah, look at the first page of the planning.
Planning document.
Minutes.
All of it's going to be rezoned to this new category. Currently, though, some of the things that they would like to do out there can't be done, like in light industrial, can't do any manufacturing whatsoever. But on the other hand, there's some portions of that land that are already zoned industrial where some very heavy manufacturing could be take place.
Yeah, what's puzzling to me is, and again, here, I wish I had a recall of information that we would repurchase this property for business use. And in terms of our purchasing this property, how we would have purchased a piece of property and allowed four different zoning on a piece of property we purchased.
No, we never, the city never owned it. This is
when I say with the Aiken Corporation.
Okay, Aiken Corporation.
We're part of the whole deal here, so.
And when they purchased it, that's what they purchased. It had those four different zonings out there. So now we're just trying to clean up that, what was out there before.
Yeah, I don't think there's any, it was because industrial was out there. The comprehensive plan down the old Aiken Master Plan, you see the industrial on certain parts of this area. You also got the concrete plant located right across the street from this. So I think that was part of it. There already were zones, and I think part of this was in the county, was it not?
It was, a good part of it was, yes.
So we brought in some new areas and zoned them. What?
The areas we brought in came in as what? Light industrial? Mm-hmm. If I recall correctly?
That's correct. Light industrial.
That's where the new areas came in, that are annexed the city.
I think Leslie's right. We need to know exactly what goes in and be as specific. I think they're trying to be as specific as we can. The other point is part of this is industrial, which they can do whatever they wanted to with it, which means we're upzoning a big portion of it. But I think we need to be as specific as we can. And so I think they tried to do that, but if we need to have more documentation, we could probably try to work on that. But we can do that by the next meeting.
What is the zoning where the building is already built?
I think it's industrial. It's industrial, I think.
When this came before the Planning Commission, there were a lot of concerns about zoning this property industrial. When this was presented to the Planning Commission, it was recommended that before they turned it down, that they go back and come up with something suitable for the community that would work where it is with the community and with the building that's already there. And they worked on it from July up to this point. I think it was probably a July meeting that the Planning Commission heard it initially. And they came back with this, and this is what they've come back with. If you look on the, if you look at what's listed here, except what's in the special exemption, what's allowed as a special exemption, it might not be so bad except for the telecommunication tower. But, you know, I all of that's conditional or special exceptions. If you look at what's allowed by right on the bottom of the page,
the spec building is there. What is that zone?
Industrial.
Industrial.
That's the harshest zone. It's industrial. We're trying to move it up from industrial to something a little bit softer.
Go from industrial to this new category, which is
so
more.
So the new category is a lot more conducive to what you're thinking than what's there now.
So warehousing is under the industrial category?
Light industrial would allow warehousing.
You can put warehousing there.
Yeah.
I think the biggest distinction, in industrial, you are allowed to manufacture and make certain things that you then can put together. In light industrial, you can't actually manufacture it. You can put certain things together. Is that part of it? You have certain things you can...
Assemble, but you can't make it.
Exactly.
As we talk about that neighborhood, I know I'm not losing it here, we would not have approved placing an industrial designation with that current building in close proximity to people.
It was already industrial. The
zoning has been industrial for a long time.
Yes,
that's right.
If you look at the, we didn't
change anything, Leslie. It was there.
No, but I remember when you brought this to City Council, and you correct me if I'm wrong, both of you, when the Aiken Corporation brought this to City Council, my understanding of what this was going to be was not another industrial park. It was anything but that. It was going to be a business park. And that's where I got confused. That's why when I saw the first building go up, I couldn't believe what it looked like, because it didn't look like a business park building to me. And that's what I think the neighbors expected. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I understood Mr. Breitharp and the other gentleman to say the night that I was at the Planning Commission meeting.
The existing building is sitting on industrial zoning now. Not all that land is zoned industrial. It's zoned the combination of such. Mm-hmm. But if you go down and looking at the old Aiken master plan, everything on the right-hand side that we're looking at trying to change is industrial, I believe. Is that not correct, Roger? Most of that's industrial. So we're trying to change that. But that's been industrial for a long time.
Now, is limited manufacturing, is that a new zone?
It's a brand new zone.
New zone they created. Yeah.
And what we're trying to do is make it more restrictive than the industrial, but do the whole with the whole thing.
It actually gets it more like a business park.
I think you're right there.
When you read these things, it can go in there.
And I think we do need a definite list, like Leslie says, and then if it's posted, then the neighbors will have a chance to come and look at that and tell us what they think, won't they?
This is right here. I mean, what?
Well, as...
Again, these are my concerns. I just don't want this to come back and bite into you.
Okay. Any other discussion? We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? First reading.
Are there any things that could go here that I'm not reading here? Is there anything else that could go here that I don't read here?
Whatever's listed in your memo is allowed.
So if it's not on this list, it's not allowed.
That's correct.
But it's vague. I mean, I see where Leslie's coming from. It says it allows, it's similar to light industrial, except it allows firms to manufacture, process, fabricate, and package goods. Well, process and fabricate can mean anything, and I think. And then it says activities that were considered noxious because of their impact on, that were considered, I don't understand that verb there, noxious because of their impact on surrounding areas due to noise, glare, dust, odor, or high hazardous material are prohibited. Is that what you're talking about, Leslie, is not being real clear?
Yeah. I and I can get with Roger in terms of some of my concerns in terms of making clear that things that that involve noise, glare, dust over high hazards is not permitted in this area.
And if you think that the limited manufacturing that you approved a few months ago does not define the way you want it, we could go back and redefine it.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's a word here or there or something else you want to put in there, but this is what you all approved just a few months ago. But again, we could rechange this to read whatever you'd like.
Actually, I think the sentence in the write-up is more confusing than if you go to the actual language.
Well, that's the city manager's fault, then.
Sorry. And that's where the noxious and all that stuff comes in. If you read specifically what is allowed and not kind of go for the summary thing, I don't even see where noxious, you know, would come out of there. I guess they have a stable.
Okay. What do you want to do? You want to go ahead and vote on this first reading, or do you want to continue it, the whole thing?
Let's vote on it. Then it
okay. We can all right. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor of approval of this on first reading. Passes unanimously. Item 3, first reading of an ordinance to rezone property at King's Sport Way. Mr. Ledoux, please.
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor. Let me get the ordinance here. The title of this is an ordinance to rezone certain property located on Kingsport Way from residential single-family RS-15 to residential single-family RS-6. The original proposal by the Sheelys was to, or at least what we had interpreted, was to rezone 2.78 acres to RS-6 from the RS-15. We subsequently have received a letter from them stating that that was not their intent, that their intent was really to rezone a portion of this as RS-6 and to keep the other portion as RS-15, which they in fact would like to build a home on themselves. So they are coming back to council with a modification as to what actually went to the Planning Commission and are asking that 1.25 acres, not the 2.78 acres, would be rezoned from RS-15 to RS-6. They have submitted this letter to you that, in fact, we just got this ourselves tonight and a redrawing here. Now, council has a couple of different choices. They could go ahead and approve it the way it is and go on to second reading. You could approve it on first reading with this modification as they have asked for. And then if you wanted some clarification, you could always go back to the Planning Commission and ask them to review it if you felt uncomfortable with that. Or you don't have to approve it at all. But before you tonight is the consideration of a first reading of an ordinance to rezone just the 1.25 acres of land from RS-15 to RS-6, keeping the other 1.53 acres as RS-15. And again, you could approve it and go on to second reading, or you could approve it and ask the Planning Commission for a review of this change, or you could disapprove it tonight.
Can we have a discussion on it? Or we need them.
I tell you, if we approve this on first reading, I feel like the only way I'll approve it on first reading is that if it does go back to planning. If planning saw something that was not accurate, or they were confused, or something, if it's changed, then I think they ought to see it again. And we can cut the time short by, say, approving it on first reading, and then it goes back to planning. Roger said maybe the
Planning Commission meets tomorrow night. I don't know if they would have time to re-review it, this change, or not.
Don't you have to advertise it?
Well, we would be advertising it before the second reading for City Council, before that public hearing, unless you want to have a public hearing at the Planning Commission. If you send it back to the Planning Commission for them to look at it tomorrow, it would just be to review it to see if this is more in keeping with what would be out there. Or you could just go ahead and say, don't look at it all, and have go back to the Planning Commission, and they have to start all over again in March.
Well, I would feel better if the Planning Commission had voted on this particular issue. I think that's what the mayor's saying. I feel like it should go back to the Planning Commission, but I don't want to hold. Is Mr. We discuss everything here as far as wanting to get as much information. Is Mr. Sheely here? Or I mean, I just feel I agree with you, Mr. Mayor, but I'd like to ask him if he has a problem with that. I mean, if he wants to build his house tomorrow or something. But
thank you. The biggest problem with that was I did what I was advised to do by the planning department. Did not know that I could split it into two separate pieces and ask for part of it to be rezoned and leave the other intact. So my ignorance, I guess, is to blame for most of that. Had no problem with them revisiting. In fact, I think maybe that's a good idea. The biggest problem that we had with the Planning Commission was not so much that it didn't meet the criteria that they had before them and they'd set out. In fact, their letter tonight to you states differently, but I was surprised to see some of the language in that letter tonight because, in fact, and I don't have time to pull it, but I'll try to repeat from memory. They said that actually I was asking for less than I could possibly ask for, and that's why they helped me support it. The planning department didn't. Now, if they were wrong, then they were wrong, and I'm not trying to throw stones. I want to get along with everybody and get this done. But here's my thing. I sent you another letter stating these facts, and you have that was just handed to you tonight. Originally, even though the neighborhood probably doesn't realize this, this was designed originally as much more dense than it is. It was all zoned PUD with 38 more condominium-type homes, if you will, to be built on this property. My intentions are clear in their original submission in that they did say, even though I could build 15 homes if it was all zoned R6, they stated that my intentions were to build 7 to 8 smaller homes with my home on one side of it. So they had that before them to start with. I don't know how we got to where we are now, where it's pretty much confused. One of the neighbors saw this and said, I don't want 15 homes, and got a petition signed, which I understand. And I got a lot of negative impact. And to me, my understanding was that the decision that Planning and Zoning actually made on that particular night was not based on the criteria or the comprehensive plan. It was based on public opinion, which, as Mr. Evans, I believe, stated in the meeting, was one of the things that could override the comprehensive plan or the criteria that they set forth. If they had a lot of negative opinion about it, they would deem that probably it wasn't in the public's interest to do it. And I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember exactly. So I don't think it was necessarily based on my original request, which was somewhat scattered based on my ignorance. But I think now it's a lot clearer, and I would appreciate it not just being shot down because I didn't do things right. I think that it's the city's position that we don't have enough RS6 and that we're trying to further downtown development for residential. I read something in the paper recently about that. This is an opportunity, and it does blend with the area because you've got RS6, which was not RS6 to start with. It was PUD. And when they realized that the areas left between the homes which should have been developed weren't big enough to build houses on, the developer made a mistake. They had to go back and rezone the front part RS6. And then it was of such little value that it was just deeded to the owners. Nobody paid for the spaces between them. They were just given this land. I guess the original owner got tired of paying taxes on it, which is understandable. It was of no use to the owner at all, so he gave them the spaces between. I'm asking for the area that's closest to RS6 to be zoned RS6. I have signatures from 2 or 4 homeowners with me tonight that actually touched the boundary, adjoined the property in that area. The others would be adjoining RS-15, which is what's there now. And so I don't think we're changing very much. We are taking a retention pond that, according to the city, is of no use and doing away with it because it doesn't effectively work anymore. It was a temporary pond. We're taking that, turning it into an additional tax base for the city, trying to build something pretty. So I'd appreciate some more consideration, if you will.
Well, if it is sent back to as you submit it to us, that's the only problem I got with it. It's changed from what you submitted.
Right.
Would you have a problem doing that? And just if we can get it back to them and say, this is what you want to do now, they'll look at it and see.
I don't have a problem with that, especially if that would avoid you disapproving it now.
Well, I don't know.
I'm just being honest.
I can't answer that one, but you know, to me,
I feel like it's a good project. Yeah. I just feel like it hasn't been given the proper attention because of misunderstanding.
Well, who are the signatures of the neighbors who approve of it? Because I don't.
I did not have copies, and I apologize. I shared that with Don. I've got Ms. Carla Crib, who owns somewhere between 1 and 2 acres on Gregg Avenue, which backs up adjacent to Kingsport and butts up to the western end of that plat that you have in front of you. So the two property lines closest to Augusta, the two corners, she is adjacent to that.
She's across Gregg Avenue?
No, ma'am. She is from Gregg Avenue into the backside of Kingsport.
She's on right. Okay. So these are okay.
And then Mr. Bill Howell, who is on Wildwood, on down the hill, but comes from Wildwood, which is the east side coming back up towards my property, he has about 2.5 acres, which are also adjacent to me. These are the two people who would be affected the most. They have the largest parcels of property. Miss Patsy Capria, it touches a corner of where it comes from, the cul-de-sac, and juts in at an angle. She touches that a little bit right there. And that's the only part that's being asked to rezone. And one other person, I don't know who owns it. And then Danny Burton, who's here, is on Saratoga. So he has the, what is that, south? I think it might be north. He's on the north side.
See, I don't know. I'm just confused about all where these folk are. Mr. Neese?
His niece does not touch the part I want to have rezoned. He is on the part that would remain RS-15.
But he was on the part that you were going to rezone.
If I had done this correctly, it would not have affected him at all, and we wouldn't even be talking about Mr. Neese. I just didn't know that I could split it into two parcels and ask for part to be rezoned and part not. That's my fault.
Well, this appears to me to be a much better plan than what I think the Planning Commission saw,
right,
from what I read. And so I'd certainly be willing to support it on first reading with the understanding we send it back to planning and get them to look at it again.
And I'll do a little better homework. How about that?
And then whatever their advice is, you know, we will take it, pro or con, we'll take it, and then we'll look at it and see what we think.
Well, thank you for the second.
This is a question. Are these comments consistent with the comprehensive plan, all these real positive things are said, these six things? You didn't. So that was staff. That was staff. That was staff recommended.
Yeah. Somewhere out there. But
that was on your original proposal, right. And I guess what happened was that you can say what you want, but if you did zone it RS6, you could have
done that.
And that's and there is a problem with that.
And I would agree with the neighbors. I don't want 15 houses on that size lot either.
So, I mean, I can understand the neighbors saying, well, if you zone it that, you can put that
right.
On.
And that's why I amended my – that's the only reason the request is amended.
Mr. Mayor, we can't.
Ed, could you address one more time so we understand about the Planning Commission tomorrow and also the notification. Is it possible that this would go on the Planning Commission agenda tomorrow?
That's probably a question for Mr. Smith, I would think. But even if it's legal to go ahead and do it, to me it would be unwise to, with absolutely no notice to anybody.
Yeah,
you know, that quickly. But
yeah, well, that's fine too. Whatever we can do that's fair, that's what we want to do.
And if it goes to the Planning Commission tomorrow, really all you would be getting is, you know, give us a response back. Do you like it or do you not like it? And you wouldn't be getting any detail on that. So if they go into detail and that kind of thing, you really need to advertise it as a public hearing.
Yeah, that's fine.
The Planning
Commission.
Right.
We want to do what's right.
And, you know, certainly council has the ability to modify the proposal without going back to the Planning Commission if you desire to do that. But I'm hearing that that's not what you want to do. If you want the Planning Commission to consider it at a regular meeting that's advertised to the public, it's probably not going to happen tomorrow night. It probably needs to happen next month. Yeah. Is it too late to happen next month?
Yeah.
Probably need to happen next month.
Okay. Well, if we pass it tonight, we'll still have the public hearing on our next meeting, so anybody that had a problem with it, even from the Planning Commission, could come to that meeting.
Well, I think Gary's got a good point here, personally. I think we ought to give him time to look at it and think about it without rushing. That would be a rush tomorrow. What does everybody else think? I'm just giving my personal opinion here.
If it does go, you're not planning to start your house tomorrow or whatever, it does go back, 30 days is going to affect you from any...
If it goes to planning tomorrow, help me understand what you're saying, Mr. Mayor. What they would be doing would be to just review a second statement in terms of the way Mr. Shealy intended for it to be versus the way it is documented here, and that's it. And then we have 2 weeks for it to come back to us for a second reading.
Mm-hmm. What they would be doing would be just giving your or their opinion on these changes on and let you know, like, yes, those look good or they don't look good. They would not be able to conduct a public hearing or get input from any citizens because obviously it's not being advertised. If all you're looking for is an opinion as to what they think, then they could talk about it tomorrow and let you know how they feel. And then 2 weeks from today, you'd have your public hearing. If you ask for them to look at it in detail, have a public hearing, they'll be looking at it in February, and you would receive it approximately 6 weeks from now.
Second meeting in February.
Right. Yeah. So in other words, it would be a six-week delay versus 2 weeks from now. It's about a month extra time that would be involved.
I think we should give the neighbors notice of the Planning Commission addressing this again. I really do.
Yeah. I do, too. I'd be sorry for the delay, but this kind of thing happens occasionally, not often. I'd feel more comfortable about it.
Delay is better than nay.
Do we have a motion? A second.
Any motion?
That's whatever council wants to do. But my thought is we pass it on first reading, we give it back to Planning Commission, or we don't have to since we're not in the rush. I mean, you know, the first thought was, well, gee, maybe they could handle it tomorrow. But that doesn't sound like a good method. But it would cut down some time.
If you don't pass on first reading tonight, then you don't hear for first reading till the end of February, and you would have the second reading in March. So this, if you pass at least first reading tonight, it speeds up the process by a couple of weeks.
Right.
And then have to go back to the Planning Commission if we pass it now? Just quoting how to motion it?
It does not need to go to the Planning Commission if you desire not to. In other words, you could make any changes you want to this if you want to approve it without going back to the Planning Commission. You have that right as council.
Is there any prohibition from having more than two hearings? I mean, if it was passed for, could you do both? Question. Others, could you send it back to the Planning Commission, put on their regular schedule, and we make a special exception, and we're going to have three readings of the thing. I agree with Jane. I want everybody to know what's going on, but I mean...
But then the time factor is still the same. It's into the middle of March, and I don't have any problem with that.
It just seems to me that when...
To me, it wouldn't make sense to have a second reading of this ordinance prior to it being reviewed by the Planning Commission.
Yeah. I guess what I'm saying is...
You're going to meet again before the Planning Commission meets in February.
I guess what I'm saying is, could you make it such... In other words, the time frame would be the same. You'd still be into March.
Well, let me ask this. What is the Planning Commission going to hear that we can't hear?
On our second reading, right?
I mean, we're going to get it all anyway. We will have the public here. We will have everything next in 2 weeks.
We won't have
a public hearing.
But we won't have the Planning Commission's opinion about this new proposal. I'm bothered by the fact that there's a proposal that goes to Planning Commission, any proposal, not just this one. And then it's acted upon. And then it comes to us, only it's not the same proposal at all. I think the intent of the law, of the process is that we act on the actual proposal. That's my understanding of what's supposed to happen. So you have two public hearings, one at Planning Commission, one at City Council.
But when the Planning Commission doesn't see it sometimes our way, we do it differently anyway.
Oh.
And so, well, I guess what I'm looking at is that he made a mistake in listening to someone who said you have to do it this way, so he did it that way. And it didn't pass planning. So now he wants to go back to what he wanted to do originally, is what he's telling us. And he's got to go back to planning and let them hear it so planning can vote and approve it and then send it back to us. And all I'm saying is that the people that would show up at a Planning Commission meeting in February can just as easily come in 2 weeks to our meeting.
Exactly right.
And hear the same information. And I might be way off the beaten path on that, but I think no matter what the Planning Commission does, if it doesn't meet the approval of the neighbors, we're going to hear everything anyway. And, you know, I'll abide by the wishes of the majority of the members on council, but I just think that we're going to hear it all anyway. And we may as well hear it in 2 weeks.
Well, Beverly,
we can hear everything the Planning Commission.
Well, I think you're exactly right, and we'll make the decision we're going to make, and maybe we can make it tonight or in 2 weeks. But we've got a process, and it's a matter, to me, it's a matter of do we want to go use the process? Do we want to use a Planning Commission or not? We've got the right to do either way. I mean, council can do either way they want to, but we do have a Planning Commission. And I would like to see us as much as possible stay within the process.
Mr. Mayor, can I say one more thing?
Certainly, if you come on up, please.
I've admitted my ignorance, but everything I've done up to this point has been at the advice of the planning department. They had the understanding that I wanted to separate this and do seven houses on one side and one house on the other. And I don't know that I should... I don't want to be selfish, but I'm concerned about having to wait that long when they already knew what I wanted to do. They had it in their writing. Now, whether I asked it for it to be rezoned properly or not, that was at their direction. And even in their minutes, they say that there were five people who spoke against this and one that spoke for it. And I brought to Rachel's attention that that was incorrect. There were actually two people that spoke for it. You don't have that before you. I'm saying that you have the facts now, and you're right, the public will be allowed to hear everything. Even the neighbors who were against it have been spoken to, and they're aware of these changes. With the exception of one, with the exception of two who were against it, I believe they've all been given a copy of this new plat. But they also knew that I was asking for a part of it to be rezoned for one use. And I understand their concern because I didn't even know until I got to the meeting and saw the paperwork that said I could build 15 houses. That was even a consideration. And I understand how we got to that point. That's where the mistake was made. The fact that I was asking to rezone the whole thing, it never crossed my mind. It was clear of my intention from the start, even though I should have done what I'm doing tonight. And that's the only reason you have an amendment before you. And that was at the direction of the planning department. This was the solution they gave to me. I didn't come up with this.
But when you sat at the Planning Commission meeting, you were there.
Yes.
And Mr. Neese and all these people voiced their objections. Did you tell them that you only wanted to rezone half of the property?
Yes, and we discussed it. Well, I didn't tell them I wanted to rezone it. I just told them what my original intentions were, that I still intended to build on the back part of this property. That's always been my intent. But that's where most of the concern came from, is because, like me, they were surprised to hear the number 15.
Why?
Nobody intended that.
Can you modify your request at the Planning Commission that you're having the hearing on, Roger? In other words, I guess my question was, why was it not modified at that point to do RS 15 and 6? Or can you do that in the middle of a...
Well, from my standpoint, I can answer that quickly. I didn't know it could still. Didn't know that you could, without deeding it into two different parcels of land, I didn't know I could make a request like that. I thought I'd have to go have it surveyed and have two separate pieces of land. Then after the meeting, I talked to Rachel. She said no, that you could do it that way. And then if you approve it, it would be conditional upon me redeeding it.
I guess my question is, if could at the Planning Commission meeting, if one is submitted, can they change the request at that meeting?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
It's done all the time. It's done all the time.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Initially, I was in support of sending this back to the Planning Commission, but after hearing what Mr. Shealy has indicated regarding the public comments and the way it's presented to us versus what he's sharing, and some misunderstanding, and if there were no avenue that the public could not come out and voice their concern, that I have problems in sending it to the Planning Commission. Since there is an avenue for a second reading and public hearing for the public to come to us and say yes or no to the additional information, then I would support that we move forward with adopting this on first reading and schedule it for the next public hearing for this
Just comment.
And just so I'm clear, is the motion, was that a motion?
Yes.
It is the motion that you are asking the council to pass this on first reading, the proposal as amended by Mr. Shealy here this evening.
That is correct.
And one thing I want to be clear on.
And that's the way I have it written in the memo, that it was for the 1.25 acres.
So that's not the way the ordinance reads.
Right, but that's the way it was proposed. The ordinance would have to be changed.
Right. And this is the parcel that would remain
RS-15?
Yes.
And
then these would be RS-6?
Yes.
And what you may want to attach to your motion would be a condition. One of the conditions of the rezoning would be Mr. and Mrs. Shealy presenting a plat to the planning department that shows these six lots being subdivided, a subdivision plat that shows as outlined in the attachment that Mr. Shealy's giving you tonight. You understand what I'm saying?
Question.
But this is coming to us for the second reading.
What I'm saying is the rezoning would not take official effect until Mr. Shealy shows this new survey. This is not a survey. This is just something that he's drawn. An official survey that shows these lots as outlined in this attachment that he's given.
Which is what was told by the plan.
Okay.
Question. Can we have specific requests that everyone who was there at the hearing be notified specifically that this is happening? In other words, where we cover ourselves extra to say, this is being done and send it to them that this is the request we're making.
Do you get addresses at those meetings?
There were eight people.
I know who they all were. I can do that.
The Planning Commission should have no.
They should know.
In the minutes, Ed says they have this.
Yeah.
In the minutes of the meeting, we have an address for each person that has spoke.
That's the one thing I'm concerned about, is that the fact that the people that were there get a chance to come here and say the reasons for and object to the new plan if there's some reason for the new plan that we need.
Are these lots, the seven lots that you show on the drawing that you gave us tonight, are those the about the same size as the lots that currently exist on Kingsport Way, or are they smaller?
I don't know that all those on Kingsport Way made it to 6,000 square feet. I'm not sure.
Well, I'm not, so I don't know
but
either.
I would
That's
say they're
question.
At least as large, if not larger. My take on about measuring would say they're larger.
These in the area.
Mine are larger, but I can't tell you that for sure.
And I would want to hear something about that retention pond, because I don't understand that
stuff.
That's not an issue for rezoning. That's my understanding is, according to the Planning Commission, that's not even a factor in the rezoning. That would come up again when the plan came forward to implement or to request those seven lots. You got to deal with what you're going to do with the water, and that would be addressed then, according to Mr. Evans and the Planning Commission.
But I think it might help you a little bit to know what the answer to that is when those people show up here and say that's their major concern.
I have a letter from Larry Morris that says, and I don't want to confuse this issue because
at the time, I asked that it could be filled in so I could build one house on the property. So I'm not saying he said I could fill it in to do this. That's not what he said. But what he said was it basically served no interest for that community anymore. It was not serving as a retention pond. There's supposed to be a roadbed originally in the middle of that retention pond and a road going around to his niece's property coming back through Miss Capria's. And that plan's still on file with the planning department showing 38 more units. So that was a temporary retention pond. It was certainly not a permanent pond.
And that letter's in your package?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay, thank you, Mr. Shealy. Ed, could you address the situation that occurred with planning? I mean, how come... Well, was there some reason that things got mixed up?
I wasn't in those meetings. We never tell anybody that they have to do anything a certain way that I know of. Now, conceivably, Rachel may have said that, or somebody may have said that you need to ask to rezone the whole property because it's one piece of property and not subdivided. I guess that's possible. I wasn't in that discussion, so I don't know.
I guess my question is, I've never seen this many positive comments from the staff and the whole planning commission vote 6-0 not to do anything. I've never seen that.
Mr. Cunning, that's happened more than one time.
Well, I guess it has, but I mean, there's a lot of positive. Not even get one person thinks it's.
And that's primarily because it's consistent with the comprehensive plan.
Mr. Spear, you have someone if you want to keep raising your hand.
Yes. Yes, sir.
My name is Mike Brazil, and I attended the previous meeting, and I had hoped to stay out of this one, but in all fairness to Mr. Shealy, I would like to try to at least clarify a little bit of what you just asked and what I observed at the meeting. 100% of the objections came from the neighbors because of a retention pond question, which they thoroughly misunderstood. Because that retention pond is on Mr. Shealy's property and does not serve for stormwater retention for Kingsport, period. Rachel had this letter from Mr. Morris, and she did not submit it because she said it was a moot point. It was an issue. The retention pond, the temporary pond that's there, is a very slight depression that's completely grown over now, and I've walked it several times with Mr. Shealy, and it's dry, but it doesn't serve Kingsport as a community. It really shouldn't even be in the discussion.
These folks thought that it did.
That's exactly right. I'm trying to answer Mr. Cunnings. Every issue, 6 items, have positive comments from the Planning Commission. But the public outcry kind of overrode this, but their objection was the retention pond, which should not have even been in there. And it was also about them assuming he was building 15 units. And after the meeting, outside in the hall, there were 4 property owners present from adjacent properties. And 3 of them stayed around. The only one that left was Mr. Neese, and he's adjacent to the section that's going to stay R15 and won't change anyway. The other 3 that stayed, 100% of them, said they would support and would not object his plan if they understood he was building his single-family home and only 6 or 7 other houses. Therefore, I don't think any of them are here tonight to object to it, and they knew the meeting was here tonight. So I'm trying to help clarify on his behalf. I think the abrupt motion and 6-0 came from they reached a point of a little confusion about this pond and about the objections, and then I think this modification was done to try to prove to them that he did, in fact, and would go to a plat to assure that he only did the R6 on the front part and his personal residence on the back, and that he couldn't hoodoo them and build 15 units.
Right.
So
right.
I don't know if that helps. But.
Well, I appreciate it. It does help, and I appreciate it.
How would they have known the meeting was tonight? Was it announced?
It was announced at the planning meeting that it would go to City Council. And I know Mr. Shealy's talked to several of them and gotten letters from a couple of them. The one lady who kind of spearheaded the opposition last time is sick in bed right now, and her husband didn't want to approach her. But I'm just giving another observation that those people met in the lobby, and they were very congenial about, oh, if we understood that, we wouldn't have been fighting you. So, you know, and like Ms. Clyburn said, if that's not the case, and, you know, they'll be here in second reading.
The thing is that this is what bothers me about this 13-day posting. If we were back at the 20-day posting like we used to have, that property would have been posted a few days ago, and they would have definitely known about, I mean, we would have known that they had an opportunity to know about this meeting for sure. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, and they should. And I think there was some mechanism suggested to assure that that happens. And my only intent is to kind of clarify how you had all of these positive comments in a slam dunk the wrong way.
All right. Well, appreciate it. Thank you very much, Mike. I will support this. Is the motion? We have a motion? We don't have a second yet.
I'll second.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
With the modifications that our attorney has advised in terms of the conditions of the rezoning.
Yeah, and the fact that we notify those folks.
I had a question. I would like to make sure that we do everything we can and notify everybody that there's no question that this thing's coming.
Yeah.
And what the modification is. I mean, we're telling them what's going on.
Right.
The only reason I can't support it is I think when there's this big a change, it needs to be approved. I think we need the Planning Commission's opinion on it, and I don't think one day is enough time to get it, but that's just my opinion. I don't know that I don't approve the project, as long as the neighbors think it's fine.
Jane, would it be all right if I brought it up at the Planning Commission meeting work session tomorrow, just to see how they feel about it? Would that help you? Mm-hmm. Or you want them to formally hear it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. I guess I think that the neighbors deserve a hearing at the Planning Commission, a public hearing, and then they deserve one at City Council.
I think if we were going the other way, if we were making, you know,
making it more
a lot of more residential units rather than less, I would look at it differently too. But I think the fact that we do have a public hearing, we're going to notify the people so that they can be here, and if they can't, they can give us a letter or they can give a phone call in and give their view. To me, I can agree with that too.
Again, saving my motion, if there were no other opportunity for the citizens to speak, then I'd have problems with this, without a doubt. But there is an opportunity for them to oppose this if they see fit. So.
Okay, so we got a motion and a second. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Opposed? Okay. Passes 6-1 on first reading. Item 4, first reading of an ordinance to amend the zoning ordinance regarding fences and walls. Mr. LeDuc, please.
The title of this is an ordinance amending section 4.1.4 of the City of Aiken zoning ordinance. For approximately almost 30 years, the city allowed fences up to 12 feet in height and anywhere within the city, and then in 99, when the new zoning changes went into effect, it stated that the fences could be 6 feet in height, except for in the front yard, they would be 4 feet in height. BZA has gotten numerous requests for variances on this, and so they asked the Planning Commission to relook at some changes, some zoning changes, and some other substantial changes. The change that came back is that there would be a 6-foot height would be allowed on all sides of the house, and that the fence or wall in the historic district could be up to 12 feet in height. And again, they did clarify some of the language that was confusing. This is the first reading of an ordinance to revise the zoning ordinance regarding fences and walls within the city. And upon your consideration, it would be scheduled for next council meeting.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we approve this on first reading and that we have the public hearing at the next regular scheduled meeting.
Okay.
Second.
We have a second. Any discussion?
The only question I have is, I mean, we went through this with when you put the wall around the village at Hounds Lake. the condos at Hounds Lake right there by Food Line, and they can only do a 6-foot wall because of this issue. I mean, I think in a lot of cases, I mean, even on the 6-foot may not be enough for sound abatement on some of these things. And I'm just wondering if we need some flexibility on it, whether 8 feet is more reasonable. And you know, I also had a question. How high is the wall in front of Rye Patch? Rye Patch, isn't it? That's got to be at least...
You're talking about the wooden wall?
No, the brick wall.
Brick wall?
It's more than six feet.
That's for sure.
All I'm saying is a 6-foot wall does not do very much for sound abatement. And I'm just wondering... You know, should we need some flexibility here that maybe they could go to 8 with certain reasons to do it? I mean, I hate to send everything to BZA because they got enough problems, but yeah, I understand what they're trying to do. You don't want to have these huge walls or whatever, but in certain cases, the reason why the walls were built like they were in certain parts of Aiken was because of Whiskey Road, sound abatement, town, you know. Pine Log Road is a heavily traveled road, and I know that they were trying to build a wall higher, and at 1 foot higher would have been a sound abatement on it. I'm just saying that from a planning standpoint, 6 may not be enough.
I agree with you. Did you notice that removal of the wording regarding nearby fences? Although it's not just nearby that you're talking about. I was going down Magnolia Lane today, and where they're fixing up that white house, mm-hmm. if they were to build a wall in front of it, as tall as that house is,
6 foot,
a 6-foot wall, and especially considering the houses across the street have much taller walls.
But you could have 12 feet in the historic district.
Well, it doesn't... Okay,
I guess my point is, what's the distinction in historic? We like 12 foot in historic.
Because there's a lot of existing walls out there currently that are 12 feet.
But like you said, where Steve Kisner was doing that wall behind those houses, it would have helped if it were...
And if you go and look at it, it was a sound abatement situation because he wanted to try to keep it from the... I'm just saying 6 foot may not be enough. That's my only point, and I'll research it for the...
And if you want it more than 6 foot for some reasons... Let's make them very specific, because again, that's going to be a judgment call on Ed's part as to, well, is that a good reason? Is it not a good reason? You know, like if it's for sound that you want to say backing up to any general business or on Whiskey Road, Pine Log Road, you know, give some specifics. Otherwise, he would have to pretty much allow anything at 8 foot to.
But wait a minute. That was my question. If it was 6 foot in the ordinance, but could go to 8 with BZA approval or something, because they look at
each. Go to 10, 12 feet with BZA's approval. It's 6 foot by right. Then you go ahead. If you want a variance, you go to BZA.
But you go to variance with anything? I mean. There's no guidelines.
Right now, you can have a side fence and a rear fence at 6 feet by right. No special approvals. If you want something more than that, you go to BZA. But also, there you had that restriction of 4 feet in the front. So some people wanted 6 feet in the front, just like they have on the side in the rear yards. Also, some people in the historic district said, I'd like to have a little bit taller because of the privacy issues. And so there were a lot of individuals going to BZA for these changes. This is going to cover a large extent of them, but there's still going to be exceptions. And again, the one by the Food Line could have been an exception if they wanted to go with a higher fence. But again, if you want Ed Evans as the planning director to approve something other than 6 feet, all I'm saying is it'd be good to have some specific language as to why Ed would approve something other than 6 feet before it go to BZA.
Why do we want to limit it? Why not just have an upper limit and say that it can be anything in between? Mm-hmm. Well, is any reason why you don't, for instance, you can go up to 12 feet in historic, but gee, you can't go but 6 feet in other places. What is there a reason for that?
Sorry, may I speak to that?
If you have an answer, Mike.
If you just want to speak.
I haven't heard anybody else have an answer.
If you just want to speak, know if you're going to answer yes.
We have no intention of staying. My apologies on the side of the room.
I'm glad you did. I'll give you 10 seconds of background. We had a variance for fence height on our property on 2-notch, just so I haven't heard back to that again. And Sandra Corblett came on out, and I didn't know a thing about the process. We wanted it's an historic property, although it's not designated as such, and it's not within the Aiken Historic District. We requested an 8-foot height, and we had fairly, you know, reasonably extensive drawings, et cetera, of what we were going to do. And Sandra Colbert came on out, and I suppose this is partly an answer to your question. She had questions as to how it would fit within the context of the neighborhood. So it was an issue of discretion. And we had, she and I had a conversation on, based on that, she gave, not approval, obviously, but gave language in our variance buttressing the idea that we could indeed have a 6-foot fence. We actually went for 8-foot, and we actually went to construct it. We thought it looked ridiculous, so we went back to 6-foot. So my sense of it from the Planning Commission was that it was a function of giving the Planning Commission's the discretion to say, you know what, this is okay, that looks ridiculous. And from a standpoint of having a series of, for example, small ranches along Boardman, far be it from us to determine how people's houses ought to look, but I can assure you that if everyone put a 6-foot high fence along their 1,200 square foot ranch between Two Notch and Whiskey, it would probably not look the way one might like it to.
Right.
I'm not sure that has anything to do with your question, but that...
My question is, what would it be allowed to put an 8-foot fence around the village at Hounds Lake?
Yes.
Now, I mean, if this passes, can you do, and where do they go for that?
If it was going to be over 6 feet in height, they have to go to BZA.
But they would not have to have a zoning ordinance change. They could go to BZA. I was reading this as changing the zoning ordinance to make 6 feet the max. So that's what I misunderstood.
By right. By right. They could do a 6-foot fence by right under this new ordinance.
Okay, but if they want to make it taller, they can go...
Outside the historic area. Historic
yes.
area could go to the 12 feet, but outside of it, you'd have to go back like they always have been with BZA.
Yeah, I think I know where some of this came from, too. There was a wooden fence built in Ray Walker Estates that was very, very tall front yard. And next door to Dr. McManus... happens to be the house that my family lives in. And the neighborhood, I mean, when they cut it down to 4 feet in the front yard, the neighborhood looked a lot better.
Yes.
And it did look like a barricade. And he's right. It would be a shame if everybody built 6 foot.
Yeah. Well, it's not even 6 foot, but if you said 8 foot, then everybody could build 8 foot by right and become a walled area.
Mm-hmm. As long as there's a way... And if you can do that, then I don't have a problem with the way the ordinance is written.
We're just, by this language, trying to cut down on the number of times people have to go to BZA
right.
for things that BZA just all of a sudden goes, shh.
Okay.
Yes.
This request come from BZA.
Yes, it did.
Okay. We've got a motion and a second. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please, all in favor. Okay, pass this unanimously. Okay.
Note that Leslie was not here. We know it passed unanimous.
Of those who were here. Okay, item 5, approval of Girl Scout Hut renovations. Mr. LeDuc.
Yes, sir. Last summer you approved a 25-year lease to the Girl Scouts for the hut that they own on Dupree Street. Their intent initially was to tear down that hut and to build a larger structure for the girls and for the council that's there. They've run into a few situations, and because of that, they're delaying any construction, major construction at that location. So in the interim, at least until they could finalize what they want to do, they would like to make some renovations to the existing building. Most of it is in the kitchen area. But before they could do that, according to the lease agreement, you have to approve any changes or renovations that would occur within that building. So before you tonight is consideration of approval for the Girl Scout Hut on Dupree Street. And again, it's painting and countertops, sink, and cabinets.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
I'll so move, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
It's a reasonable request.
All right.
Second.
Second. Any discussion?
Is this affected by the Historic Preservation Commission at all?
No. No, it's not.
Because the color of the trims...
This is all in... you're talking about the exterior trim that needs painting?
painting doesn't come under their jurisdiction.
I don't think.
No, but I mean, can they paint it purple?
Yep. I don't think they will. But paint color is not something that the Preservation Commission rules on.
Well, I think any improvements they can make to that building are an asset to not only the community there, but to the city. So, do we have any other comments? We have a motion and a second to approve. If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Item 6, approval of the jury box for 2005.
This is a procedural matter that every year council has to give approval before we could go forward and to call a jury. And so before tonight, we have 15,633 registered voters in the city of Aiken. Each one of those would be put in a jury box. And about every 6 weeks, Sarah pulls out a selected number of those that would then go ahead and be called up for jury duty. So before you tonight is consideration of the preparation of the jury box for 2005.
Okay, thank you, Sarah. Sarah, are we in that box? Huh?
All right, if you're a registered voter.
Are we in that box, Council?
If you're a registered voter.
No, I'm not. So I guess I'm not
in the box.
Okay. All right, do we have a motion? Second.
So moved, Mr. Mayor, to approve the jury box 2005.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? If not, show hands, please, all in favor. Okay, passes unanimously. Okay, when we started our meeting, we talked about additional items we might want to add, and if I have it correctly, we have three items. And the first one was, Don, you mentioned that. To add to the agenda a discussion of the Judy Livingston Beauty Salon issue that we talked about previously.
Mr. Mayor,
you can state it the way you want to, but that's.
I just want to make a motion to. I have some additional information regarding the beauty shops, some beauty shops that were acted on in the BZA. I have some additional citizens and business people that would like to speak, and I feel like it merits. Another hearing, so I'd just like to make a motion that we put it back on the agenda for additional consideration.
If I may, just for clarification purposes, sure. It's not so much a motion as it is three council members have to vote in favor of it. It's not a situation where you have a motion and a second and all of council votes on it. If you have three council members that are in favor of having this put back on the agenda the next meeting, then it would pass.
Okay. Do we have three members that
I obviously would vote for it?
Not two.
Just to hear information.
Well, to bring it back up.
Well, you got it. Explain. What would we do? We would start the process totally over. Is that right, Mr.?
It can be
voted on by any member of council. If three council members are in favor of bringing it back up again, then Roger can put it on the agenda for the next meeting.
It doesn't have to be one that was in the majority.
No.
Correct.
Okay.
A motion to reconsideration does, but a motion to reconsideration is only applicable at the meeting at which the item is considered. That would have been the last meeting.
Before the meeting's over.
Yes, sir.
And doesn't that have to be from someone who actually voted for the motion?
On a motion to reconsideration, yes, sir. Voted in the majority. Voted in the majority. The winning party has to vote to reconsider.
You mean if it's approved by three people to be put on the...
Say that again? About on a motion for reconsideration, a member of the prevailing side, one of the four, if it's a 4-3 vote, one of the four has to vote in favor of the motion for reconsideration. On this particular item, only three. The ordinance says only three council members. It doesn't say whether they were prevailing party or not.
If three vote for reconsideration, we would then vote at the next meeting for reconsideration, and four people have to.
No. At the next meeting, Roger would put the ordinance back on the agenda for first reading, just like it was when we had first reading to begin with.
But I'm still...
Starting over.
In other words, that meeting you debated again, decide if you want to pass it on for second reading.
Oh, in other words, four people had to vote for it at that
time. Right, at that time to continue it.
In other words, the same...
procedure as you would on any first reading.
So the question before you is, are there three council members that want to put it back on the agenda? And I understand Mr. Cunningham and Mr. Sprawls.
That's all we've got.
That's
all I'm asking tonight.
You know, we went through this thing, and obviously I was one who felt like Waterloo was a good place for the beauty salon. I still do. But before I can say yes to putting it back on the agenda, I would like to hear some reason that the vote would be any different or could be any different. We had four people sit here that voted against it. Why in this world would the three people, let's say the three people who voted in favor of it, say, yeah, let's put it back on the agenda without any reason to believe that the decision would be different? It doesn't make any sense to me. I haven't heard anybody who was in the majority on that vote say, yeah, you know, let's put it back on there. Maybe we missed something. Maybe we didn't hear properly. Maybe we did something. So I'm not going to vote for it and to put it back on and go through all of that discussion, all the public hearings, without someone saying, well, gee, you know, because of this, that, or the other thing, I think we ought to address it again. What would be the point? And if we did vote for it again, I would want to make sure that everybody in all the LP districts knew that we were doing it. That notice would go out to each and every person, and I don't care whether it's 10,000, which it isn't. It's very limited. Telling them that council is looking at this issue again. We want you to know about it. We want you to come to the meeting if you have something to say about it. It was defeated the first time, but it's being reconsidered. Whatever the wording should be.
Mr. Mayor, I agree with
that's
that.
That's the only way that I could say, yes, let's talk Gr- about
Mr.
it
Mr. Mayor,
again.
I agree with that, and I would hope that when we change somebody's zoning the other way, that we do the same thing. Now, I had one individual come up to me. It was Robbie Shell. I said, you know, I didn't know about that meeting. I can't. If I stop using my property for a year, then the zoning goes away. And nobody notified him at all.
Absolutely.
I think it's just as
and that's
important.
Something we have to get back into, I think.
Absolutely.
In a big way.
That's right.
And if it takes changing some of that back or whatever it takes, because I'm sure I knew about it. I was on council. But just the knowledge that people aren't advised, it really bothers me. It does bother me.
Well, I think the other thing about it is
Is there a way to notify everybody?
There's a way to do anything that we want to do.
Well,
there's very little limited professional in the city that's not going to take up.
It's not that big.
Well,
it's 0.25% or some such thing.
Less than 3/4%.
Well, if I may, I agree with the mayor that we've had the issue discussed extensively. It was not an easy vote for some of us because I thought I made it pretty clear that perhaps beauty shop, a beauty salon, would not be a bad thing in an LP area, but the process shouldn't be one of where we have a specific case and we're going to then run off and change the uses in an ordinance to accommodate one problem. Variances are a different thing, but I don't see that as the right process here. We've done that in the past, as I understand, over the years, where in effect it almost is like a spot zoning type of thing. I just don't think that's the way to go.
But we're all only adding this to the list. It still will have to go on a case-by-case basis to the BZA.
I understand. They're adding it to a list that applies to every LP thing in the city, which is not the case when you go for a variance. It's changing one specific property, the height of one fence, or the proximity to the boundary line, but it is not changing an ordinance, and that's what we started out to do, although we didn't want to say that, but that's really what we were doing.
Basically, to cut to the chase, if you were one of the ones who voted for it, and I understand your reasoning, but if no one else is going to second for the third vote, then it doesn't matter. So, I mean, unless somebody who voted against it wants to get more information on it, it's an issue that, and I understand what you're saying, Mr. Mayor. That's
right. But, you know, at this point, and I voted on the prevailing side, and even if I were to go along with the notion to put it back on the agenda, you've got one who voted for the first time, who's now saying, you know, I'm done with that issue. So you still don't have any votes.
Who says that?
What is your position,
Mr. Mayor? Who said?
He didn't say you were.
What is my position? How did I vote before?
You voted for
it. I stand firmly because I believe the beauty salon is a good fit in the LP district. That's where I stand. That's where I voted, and that's where I stand.
Mr. Smith,
but unless someone on the other side says, gee, there's something maybe I missed or whatever, then what? Why in the world would we get back into this situation and go through two readings only to have it defeated again?
What I don't understand is, if this is being brought up again, why can't we state that there are other information? This is the additional information that I have, and because this is additional information, I'd like for reconsideration. That's how I'm accustomed to.
Well, that's what we don't have. That's
right.
That's exactly right.
So
what is new here?
We don't have any of those people here tonight. We'd have to have a hearing to hear it. That's my point.
No, council decides.
No, I mean, I don't have the information and the people here to speak on it.
We had a public hearing at the Planning Commission. Am I wrong?
Yes.
We had a first reading. And a lot of people spoke, and at that time, most of the people that spoke were in favor of the change because the property didn't have to be posted till 13 days before. I understand that. We had a second reading. There were a lot of people that took their time out and came here. If the vote had gone the other way, we couldn't possibly go back to reconsider it, could we?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How can you do that to someone? I mean, they could decide that, okay, I don't know. I have to go through the law again, but I had understood, at least way back when I was working on Preservation Commission, that when something was defeated or there was a certain time period that had to elapse before it could be brought through the process again, precisely to keep something that lost or won on a 4-3 vote from being brought up over and over and over again until someone was absent.
Yeah. That's not the point.
But I know, Mr. Mayor, that's not the point, but that could happen,
yeah,
if we
Mr.
set
Mayor,
this precedent of doing this.
Just to cut to the chase, if you're not going to vote, we don't have three, then it doesn't have a chance anyway. Unless somebody who voted no thinks they want to get more information, I agree with the mayor, but I'm willing to be one of the three. So.
Well, you could have someone, and I personally, I'd love to have the beauty shop there, but based on comments that I heard from individuals who had followed the procedure, those who inquired about what the zoning was and followed and adhered to whatever we had to say in terms of you can't do this, those are considerations that I had to take into mind as I cast my vote, not my personal desire to see the owner put a nice facility there. But what concerns me is that if we get into changing based on my not liking the outcome of how you voted, a developer could make a substantial investment in a piece of property, and then we decide that, hey, I don't like the outcome, so I'm going to bring this up again next meeting to try to overturn what he had to say. And he's going along, she's going along with that investment, thinking that she's gotten approval, when it's still an unsettled resolution because it's coming back up again. So it's those kinds of pending things that I...
And I don't think this is... my recollection is I don't remember this ever coming up that we've done this.
No.
In 18 years, I don't think it is.
Just for clarification, though, part of the discussion we had in this, and I'm not talking about the beauty salon, I'm talking about the whole litany of things in allowed in LP. There's some things in there that I don't think should be in LP. I think there's certain things that should be in LP. Now, and once we go through this, we ought to send it to every person who is in LP and say, listen, if you have this use, it's going to be debated, and we're looking at changing the LP zoning as what's allowed in LP. I think that's very important. I really do. And send it to everybody, because I tell you what, that was not done in 1999. It couldn't have been.
That was one of the things we talked about last time.
And I believe that we have to do that. And there's certain things that are in there that I don't want in there.
And I agree
with this gentleman here. Yeah. If I look at down that litany of LP, I say, wait a minute, what sense does that make for a zone that's supposed to be part residential?
At least five people from that neighborhood have asked to look at the LP ordinance and the planning office has given them copies, and they are hoping to come to city council with some kind of a suggestion, since they live there, since that's where they are. And that's the process that this needs to take, I think. And I think at Horizons we might want to address this, but to change it, I don't know.
We looked at it, and if you don't have three people saying they want to do it, then let's move on.
Is
Mr. Mayor,
the C, B, and Z?
BZA?
BZA, look at it. Is that what you think it's done? It would still be
a special exception if we did, and it was approved. It would still be a special exception where we'd have to go to BZA for final approval. And if they may or may not approve it, who knows?
Yeah, just because we add it to the list doesn't mean they're going to approve it.
I think the process we talked about at that time of reviewing LP is something that we need to get on the agenda really quickly.
We are debating whether to allow it to go back on for the, and if we don't have three people on this council saying that's what we want to do, then let's move on. I'm willing to do it. Don's willing to do it.
It's not only three people. It's what's the reason to do it? Who voted for it? Who voted in the majority is now saying, well, gee, I question my vote. I've learned something else, whatever it might be. And therefore, I really think, council, we ought to look at this again. Now, without that kind of thinking, what's the purpose?
I think there are two things here that are real important that we need to look at. Number one, Mr. Mayor, I had supported the beauty shop being on Waterloo up until the last meeting at the public hearing, and sometimes you hear things that change your mind. My mind was changed that night when I heard the young lady from Two Knots Road speak on behalf of those who live near the limited professional zone. They were concerned. She had no dog in the fight all the way over in Waterloo, but she was concerned about what this would do to other limited professional zones. That kind of made it a little bit more difficult for me to support it because of that. Now, am I going to hear anything any different from what we heard the last time that would make me change my vote? If so, I'd be willing to do that. But there's another issue here. The other issue is that in the 15 or 16 years I've been sitting on this council, the person voting on the prevailing side has been able to bring things up before. But this to me is kind of new, where three people who voted maybe not for it, that any three council members can bring it up, back up for a vote. Is this going to open the door for us to continue to bring things up time and time again if three people agree this is what we should do? We could be going around in a circle just redoing things forever and ever.
I agree.
And so that is the one issue for me that makes it a little difficult for me to say to Don and to Pat that, yeah, I was on the other side, but I'd like to look at this again. I've got to consider what will that do?
Well, Beverly, I agree with you, and I didn't ask you to bring it up. I didn't ask anybody to bring it up. It was brought up, and
that is an issue unless, that we should be.
Unless there's new information that we need to think about and really be concerned about, what's the reason for bringing it up again?
Well, let's call the question.
And let me just add.
Yeah, we got to move on.
For the discussion out. I have seen other issues brought, the same issue brought back to City Council, and frankly, I have seen after a period of time, and after whether it's a lapse of memory with us or what, we ended up approving it after 6 or 8 months, after a lapse of time. Don't ask me why these things happen, but I've watched the pattern here. And for us to, this to come back up so soon, it's just unprecedented here. I've never, since I've been on council, I've never seen an issue brought up so quickly in terms of revisiting the issue. But this was after time of rediscovery, more information, more conversation, more dialogue for us to go on. But not, I don't have anything right now to go. I've had no communication with anyone.
And I think the reason we can't let go of the issue is because I think maybe more than just me have a feeling that if we bring it back and put it back on the agenda, others may change their mind. I think we don't want to let go of the issue because for all we might know, it might have been a right issue. You may have voted the right way, Mr. Mayor, the first time, and some of us may have voted the wrong way. I don't know. It might be that this is something that's okay to do.
Well,
but I just don't want to be in a position to open the floodgate. Maybe, Leslie, the floodgate's already been opened. The issue's come back, but I've not seen it come back this fast, and I'm concerned about that issue. So for me, one issue complicates the other. I'd like to see the beauty shop issue resolved. I'd like to see limited professional zones cleaned up a bit. And I don't know if the new information could even do that. Or maybe there's another avenue for doing that. But I think that that this overall issue of bringing things up by three people, any three people,
yeah, I don't like it myself. I don't like the idea, and of course it hadn't been used. I don't remember. And we're not here to judge what other council members, how they voted and why either. And that's one of the good things about this city council, as opposed to some others we might be somewhat familiar with. You know, it's been it's my view that over the years that once we vote on an issue, no matter how we vote, we don't go back, we don't question each other why they did this, why they didn't that, or fuss at each other. That's the way it is. And then if something happens down the road, you look at the zoning. We've already said we want to look at the zoning, not only in LP. I think we need to look at all the zones, all the districts, and maybe something's going to change there that we can agree on, and maybe we won't agree on it. But I think the main point that keeps us going is we don't get stalled on these issues and upset and mad at each other. We move on. And everybody's got a right to their own opinion, and we voice it in our vote, and that's the way it ought to be. And I think that's what we're doing.
We need to move on. We don't have three.
That's right. Let's move on, shall we? All right. We've had the discussion. Okay. The next item had to do with signs. Jane, you...
Can I just, before we get on...
You probably need to.
Just so that council realizes, the very last item on Friday of our retreat is going to be talking about zoning issues and the zoning changes that you may want to see in the future. It's the last item, so we have plenty of time to discuss it. We go as long as we need to that Friday night. But that is an issue that will be on the agenda for the horizon.
Okay, good. Jane.
I just was, Roger probably knows the answer to every question that I ask, but I just thought those signs were great at Christmas time. I would be interested if you got any feedback from merchants. I've just heard from a few of them, and the ones that had them loved them, and the ones that didn't wanted them, which is good, too.
The only comments that I received were positive comments from merchants or citizens. Unfortunately, I was not at the ADDA meeting last Tuesday because I was out of town. I was in Washington, D.C., so I was not able to hear any discussion that happened, but Bill was there.
Bill was there. My understanding is that the design committee of ADDA is going to be on the 19th, and this is an item on that agenda to discuss the outcome, feedback, and whether or not
once we get information back from them, then it has to go back to City Council again, because again, the law says that without your permission, we cannot put signs on the right-of-way advertising private businesses.
Do you think we could encourage them to get it back to us at the next council meeting, maybe?
We could certainly go ahead and typically the way it works is it goes to the design committee, and then they make their recommendation to the full board, which would be the next board meeting. That would be the first one in February. So that'd be February 1st. We would have it on the February 14th meeting then. And Ed, if I'm correct, if council approves to put signs up similar to what we had, then it also has to go through BZA for a variance.
I was looking at the ordinance, trying to refresh my memory.
Or once council makes a decision, then it's final.
I think it's still the BZA's call. I don't think council can approve that type of sign. Standard highway signs and markers that DOT or the city authorizes, council can approve. But I think the sign listing businesses, I think it would have been easy.
Okay. Either way, we'll find out. We should be able to get it approved in February, whether it goes to BZA or not. We can get these things made up and erected with a short, you know, you were talking about before Masters and hopefully before the Triple Crown even happens.
Yeah, that's March then,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So they don't take that long to get made up then?
No, we were able to get everything done within if everybody likes the look of them and the sign posts, etc., then it would be a very easy process.
And people are, all the merchants are going to be approached?
Yeah, the biggest thing that I think has to be decided is how far down and what blocks do you put them on? To me, the original intent was not to put them on Lawrence Street, pointing north and south on Lawrence as much as to go to the side streets. But now there's a number of merchants on Lawrence that are saying, well, we'd like to have the signs. So if you're at Lawrence and Richland, they wanted a sign pointing back to the south. Well, if that's the case, you've got probably about 10 stores. It's kind of like, how much of a reader board do you have going on down with signs?
If you just took it one block at a time, would it be that many? I guess it might.
Yeah, certain blocks that would have a lot of stores.
But I know in north of Richland, you know, now that there are no restaurants up there, some of those
businesses. South of Richland.
Well, stoplights there. That's not true. Stoplights there and the new moon's
yeah,
there.
Yeah, south of Richland there would be a lot. And understand that when the old theater gets rebuilt and there's four commercial sites there, so before there and probably another. So there would be probably about eight. We just have to think about that.
What's cooking is down there.
Let's think quick, though. Yeah. Okay.
Really. I'm not doing the comments that we heard was that this is very helpful, particularly mm-hmm. with new people in mm-hmm. town.
Yes.
This Christmas are doing some business downtown. It was very helpful to have those signs.
Very nice. I was very impressed with the signs.
I was too.
Yeah.
The major complaints that Janet had was the merchants that called that didn't have their names.
Well, we knew that was going to happen since this was just a test and it was done quickly.
And we spoke.
Quickly.
You know, I mentioned that at the board meeting that we had because there was a merchant that said, "You know, we're all going to get his complaints." And I said, "Welcome to the business."
It can be done. We can work this through.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
We'll put that
That's
in make sure.
Great.
Well, what do you promise? What do you promise? Only to talk
five.
2 minutes?
Five.
5 minutes.
You don't need that there. We should have 3 minutes.
Please.
Down.
And let me remind you that the first time I came.
Hey, tell us who you are first.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Al Payne. The first time I came to speak to you, I told you there were 19 18-wheelers in Crossland Park and about 15 or 20 other trucks. Well, I can't tell you how successful we have been with all of this, and we've gotten it down to the point of one big problem, and his name is John Wade. And I have been here at least 15 times, and every time I've left, I've had a grin from ear to ear, thinking, I've won. But I have come to the conclusion that this is my last time. I'm going to try one more time to change that. Please do let everybody look at it.
I will.
8 trucks on that one lot. And I've given up. I'd like to be on your agenda 2 weeks from now.
I thought you said this was your last time coming.
Well, I mean, this is the last time I'm going to present this.
Oh, okay.
And let me know next week. Maybe I won't come back.
Have you talked, Al, have you talked to public safety about this? Who have you talked to?
I have talked to about anybody you can think of. But the last time, I spoke to our PAC officer, who is a really nice young man, Chris Medlin, and he, in turn, spoke to Tommy Paradise. Pat has seen this thing that's sitting in the front yard, and it's on wheels. And Tommy Paradise told Chris that it was not bigger than the requirements. But he was measuring it from the bottom of that trailer and not from the ground where the big wheels are. Because Pat and I had discussed this before and had realized that it's much taller than 8 feet and probably longer than 20 feet. And there's all of these ordinances and variances.
Mr. Mayor, I wrote out last night. Al called me. I wrote out to look at it. She's right. There's a lot of stuff. I talked to Richard Pierce. I said, Richard, get the ordinance. Tell us exactly what's supposed to be done. Get with Roger, and let's enforce the law. Al, I've done that.
I know.
And if they don't, if Richard's going to tell, this is what the law says, now enforce it. And if people in this in that work for us is not doing enforcing law, then we're going to do something about it. That's being taken care of. I went out there, and you're absolutely right. There's one parked here, the one on the other side. They're all over the place. However, we have to adhere to what the law says, and I believe the law is on our side, but let's let the process work. Get Richard, and I talked to Richard.
That's what happens 2 weeks from now. In other words, that
well,
what
in other words, we get a hearing. We get say this is what it says, and then tell Tommy Paradise or public safety say, guys, this is what the law says. This is exactly what it says. Now go enforce it. Now if they won't, then we got a serious problem, and we'll handle it. Roger will handle that. So that's where we stand, and, I left my house yesterday at 7 o'clock at night to go look at it when you called me. So we're on top of it, but that's what we're going to do. Yep. Now, I don't know what else to do. If we don't do it, then you got the perfect right to come in and complain or whatever. But that's what needs to happen.
Well, I agree with Pat. Everything Pat has said here, I'm going to ride up tonight after the meeting and see it. I'm assuming it's at night when he's back home.
Well,
and he's marked all of these things.
Well, you can usually say at 6 o'clock in the afternoon from then on. But let me explain one other thing to you all. I'm not just out to get John Wade. When we started making all of this progress, things changed. I was ready to sell my house. But things changed. It was amazing how things changed. And your garbage rules have changed. Oh, it's just made it wonderful. But here is what happens. And we have gotten rid of almost all of the trucks except John Wade's. Or at least they are parking them in their backyard or side yard. But what happens is I get the telephone calls because the president of the neighborhood works at night, and they know that I'm real active and I'm the vice president, so they call me. And it'll be a man who will say, hey, you made me move my truck, and if you aren't going to make John Wade move his truck, I'm going to park mine back in the front yard. So it's not just that I'm trying to jump on John Wade.
Right.
I'm trying to keep our neighborhood improved the way it is now. Because I love my house, and I have a beautiful house. And I don't want to leave my house of 52 years. But that's it.
Well, let me just say that I researched the ordinance. In fact, I have asked Sarah to give me a copy of it this weekend. It's 22 and a half feet is what you voted on for the length, not including tongues and racks and other things, and it's 8 feet high, not again including any racks on top or air conditioning or any other type of units on the top. So it's a very, in my opinion, very clear. And once I got that look, because it was back about a year and a half ago that we passed this, then Tommy Paradise is the one that would be in charge of that, and we'll talk about it. But I wanted to find out, because Elle came to me and said it was 20 feet and it was this and that. And so I actually went back and looked at the language, because some of you were saying, let's make it such and such a length, such and such a height. And the way it was worded was the mayor finally said, okay, some of you saying 20, some of you saying 25, let's make it 22 and a half. And that's where we came
brilliant,
up with
the brilliant. That was a brilliant.
There is an ordinance that says 20 feet long and 8 feet tall.
No, not anymore.
I think it's 22. We went.
Changed to 22 and a half.
It was changed to 22 and a half. Yeah.
But 8 feet. But the height.
The covenant. The Crossing Park neighborhood has a covenant that certainly would take care of it. And perhaps that's the way to go. I don't know.
But the logic, think about it, if it is just from the wheelbase, think about it. You could have one of these big, huge tires that they allow that you could have 20 feet in. Yeah, I don't think that was the intent of the law.
The intent was from the ground to the roof, but not including any roof rack and
absolutely.
Other things on top.
And I'm not including, measured it, we did not include the air conditioning. We included the
No, and we would have taken care of this last week.
Right.
You came to me last Wednesday, but unfortunately on Thursday we were tied up all day Thursday and Friday and Saturday with other issues.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I was tied up Sunday night, but I promise you I drove out there Sunday night to look at it.
Al, thank you for all you've done over the years for your community there in Crossland Park. You've been a real trooper.
Do you still want to get the agenda 2 weeks from now?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I want your answer.
We'll give you 3 minutes. How does that?
I think what we should do.
Just kidding.
Let's notify her about what the legal part says, and you know, we don't need to. Let's just do what we're supposed to do.
Because even if the length is different, the height is higher.
And if there's any question about the wording in the ordinance, is any question in the wording of the ordinance where it could be this or it might be that?
No.
We can straighten that out, too. Okay, I haven't looked at it lately.
There's also something in one of the city ordinances, or I know at the Planning and Zoning Board this came up, about the number of vehicles or whatever one could have. And someone suggested there should never be more than 3. There is 8 here.
Mm-hmm.
That's not
and they're here
ordinance.
Every day and every night.
Right. And that's not in the city
right.
ordinance.
Pardon?
That's not in the city ordinance.
It's not in the ordinance. Well.
Right, right.
We
right.
talked about a number of things. We debated this for, I think, 6 months.
Thank you, Al. Hey, before we leave, let me mention 2 quick things. Howard Duvall called me. And told me that he'd gotten word that the governor is not going to disapprove the telecommunication fee increase. Remember, we were 5% on long-distance calls, and it was reduced to 0.75, and we were looking at losing $500,000 a year. Well, the amendment was to go back up to 1%. So he can either sign it and approve it, or he can sign it and not approve it or disapprove it, but he's going to let it ride, and therefore it'll be approved after several days. The other thing is, and I think we all know this, but our public safety input into the Graniteville situation, plus Don's been down there all the time, has been just tremendous. We had at least 50 public safety officers down there working and going door to door and whatever they needed them to do, and hazmat folks. And it was just amazing to see people from all over the state. Columbia sent down their emergency command a mobile unit, and so did Charleston. And Charleston sent down this neat unit for cooking, and they were out there cooking
and sleeping,
and it was just amazing to see all these folks. There was one guy from Edgefield I talked about on one occasion. He apparently was on the line between Edgefield and Aiken County. When he got the word somehow, he just turned his car and came to Aiken right away to help that morning.
And to see everybody working together, you know, the logistics of that thing when you've got 200 or so public safety and FBI and SLED and railroad folks and everybody.
You had Westinghouse with his firefighters and hazmat.
Westinghouse was a big help. Everybody was a big help, and that's the way it's. That's the way it's planned, that's the way they train, and it's just wonderful to see it all come together and work like it did, you know. So Mike Hunt did a super job, and Michael Frank did a super job.
Don, I think we need to thank Don personally, because he'd been down there. I know.
Yeah, Don was down there most all the time.
We were feeding average 350 people per shift. So.
What do you think they need the most? Like now, I mean, you hear so many things, you don't know what.
Well, nobody certainly went hungry or cold or without shelter. It was amazing. It was
that's right. Salvation Army was there, of course.
Gary, I never seen so
Gary
much
Smith had his
food in my life.
Red Cross out there. Yep. Gary's chairman, you know, the president, whatever they call it.
Yep. The Red Cross and the Salvation Army was.
Do they still have shelters?
The Red Cross. No, they closed all the shelters.
So everybody's in hotels.
Yeah. Well, next meeting, precedent here, but next meeting we really need to make a comment.
Accommodation. You know? Let's really need to have accommodation for everybody.
And commend our public safety group and, of course, everybody else that worked on that.
And public safety was not here tonight. You may or may not have noticed it, but I just told them, don't come. Yeah. Get some rest.
Right.
You
right.
Didn't tell me I could go home.
You don't need any rest.
Get the memo? You've got to read your emails.
And Larry Marsh was involved, too, and maybe other people, you know, from other departments in our city that we didn't even know about. But
several.
It was a wonderful effort on everybody's part.
Jeff Wilson, a lot, you know, control.
That's right. Jeff.
Mary, special.
We are adjourned.
Historic presentation.